Holy moly, I know what that music means.
It's the day we wait for all week long. It's Friday, the best day ever invented. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder. And you're here, too, which we're thrilled about. 312-981-7200 if you want to be part of the show. You can call us or text us.
And we've got Andrea today.
Yeah, Andrea's filling in for Steve. Hi, how are you, Andrea?
I missed you guys. I never get to hang out with you guys, so.
The crosstalk is not enough for us.
It's not.
It's just not. So this will be better. Yep.
Really, usually we overstay our welcome, so it's nice to hear that.
It's like a wedding of the palate.
Yes, it is. That's the perfect way to describe it, Andrea. Thank you so much. You know who I saw on the news, Wendy? A guy that you and I spoke of about a week ago. Does the name Dr. Malachi Love Robinson mean anything to you?
Yes, it does. Yeah? That young doctor in love.
He's 18 years old. He's a doctor with his own clinic. Is there a downside to Dr. Malachi Love Robinson? Yes, there is. It's that he's not ever passed any sort of an exam to be a regular doctor. He's
no
just
credentials.
Decided zero credentials, but it didn't stop him. He's done it on more than one occasion. For a while, he was in while women were getting examined, you know, just wearing a lab coat and with a, sometimes if you have a clipboard, you look more official. So he did purchase himself a clipboard and a lab coat.
If you're a coach, doctors don't really have clipboards anymore.
They've showed him a couple times and he's got this, this very official looking clipboard. So you go, oh, he must be a doctor. The guy's got a clipboard.
Because it says Dr. Love, whatever his name is.
Right.
Dr. Love.
Yeah, that sounds legit, doesn't it? All right, let me play. This is a little bit of audio from Dr. Malachi Love Robinson. And I guess what he's doing is he's explaining the situation. And there's no need to panic if he's your doctor. I'm sure everything will be fine. So here's Dr., and I use that term loosely, Malachi Love Robinson. Listen.
Giving a medical exam to an undercover officer.
Are you a doctor of anything? Anything at all?
I do currently hold a PhD in what I don't feel comfortable disclosing because that is not the issue here.
But you treat people at your
office. The issue that I face now is accusations.
The 18-year-old indeed facing serious accusations from police. Seven, including grand theft and allegedly practicing medicine without a license. And last month he proudly showed off his medical center to our ABC affiliate WPBF.
This is the New Birthing Life Medical Center.
But peel back the tape and the sign on the door has his name and these two crucial letters. M.D.
That sign on the door was actually due to be changed. There are many types of degrees out there that hold the title as doctor, whether they are a physicist or an engineer. Just because someone has the title doctor in front of their name does not necessarily imply M.D.
Have you had training?
I have. I have shadowed many doctors.
You're saying your training comprises shadowing other doctors, real doctors. That's your training in medicine.
Your training comprises of a lot of things.
But you weren't in med school.
Exactly. So I am not portraying as an MD. I've never said that I've gone to school to be a MD.
But the teen who goes by Dr. Love does advertise an array of treatments on his medical center website, including phototherapy, food and air therapy, and naturopathy.
I have been studying this particular field for a while. May not have been 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, but it has been long enough to, I would say, justify what I do.
Including apparently treating the elderly. In a criminal complaint, an 86-year-old woman said he recently treated her for severe stomach pain, paying him nearly $3,500.
What services did you provide in exchange for that money?
I can tell you this. Accusations are merely accusations. And services, you'd have to define that. Whether she paid for me to just show up, that's up to her.
You're not denying the fact that she paid you $3,500 or so, correct?
No, I am denying that.
Are you a fraud? Because it seems like everything you're saying to me is either evasive or an outright lie.
I don't appreciate your tone. I don't appreciate the way you're portraying this interview to actually be.
And then a moment we didn't expect.
Are you in big trouble? I mean, it seems like you've spoken to a lawyer who's prepared you for to talk not only to the media, but the police as well.
I don't know where you're receiving this information from, but it is inaccurate. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this interview short. I'm going to have to cut this interview short.
And in fact, he did, walking out the door.
He cut it as short as his medical studies, Wendy.
It sounded like a fake interview, though, didn't it? Where you know,
where things are pieced together.
Yes.
For the purpose of what you just heard, things were pieced together a little bit. There's a longer interview that Matt Gutman did with him, including one where he explains that he has studied both locally and in other places.
They were also not in the same room. I think it was done via, you know,
Skype.
It was like
or
a
something
Skype or
like
something.
It.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, he could be a PhD, but a PhD is not a medical doctor.
And he says he's not comfortable in saying what he's a PhD in.
So I'm a PhD. I have a PhD. I have five PhD.
You do?
I'm not comfortable telling you what they're in.
No. Why would you be comfortable?
But
with
I
that?
Have them. But so he says I'm not a medical doctor, but the sign says MD.
On the door.
And the bad news for Dr. Love is the lawyer he has representing him is not a real lawyer.
Oh, that could be a problem too, couldn't it?
He didn't go to law school.
I can't figure out for the life of me how he's gotten as far as he's gotten. Somehow he was able to rent a space, buy equipment, because when they showed the offices, they toured the offices, and it looks fairly legit when you're walking through.
That woman who paid him $3,600 financed all the machinery. That's what he's doing.
Some of it, yeah. Yeah.
The first, very first patient he saw, empty room. And then as each patient came through, it would, you
know. A little bit more each time. But, you know, we work in a studio, and even a chair here costs money. A desk costs money. He had official-looking things that you'd have in a doctor's office. How did he swing that? You can't go to, can you go to eBay and just get medical equipment and put it in an
office?
Absolutely. I guess you could.
Why couldn't you?
Yeah. But I just like the veracity by which he turns this on ABC's Matt Gutman.
I don't like your tone.
I don't, right. That's the best. The fact that he's treating people without any sort of a license whatsoever, and he's set up, it's a sham doctor's office, that's fine. But the tone that Matt Gutman took with him, that's wrong.
That is just shocking to me that he, first of all, shadowed doctors. That's his experience.
Right.
I could be a doctor then.
Right. We all could be doctors. He says, did I study for 8 or 10 years to get here? No. He's 18. That would have meant he was 10 when he was doing that.
I have studied for 8 or 10 years being a hypochondriac. I had the Mayo Book of Symptoms.
You're more trustworthy.
I am.
People should go to you instead.
I find this astounding that he's been able to do this twice. Because remember, he was going in and out of hospitals to see OBGYN patients.
Yes. Yes.
And baby's not done yet.
You called this a week ago when we talked about him. There is a Gary Coleman quality to him.
What you talking about?
What you talking about, Matt Gutman? When you see him, all it can do is remind you of Different Strokes. When you're watching him, you go, "That's Dr. Arnold. I can't trust him."
Somebody says PhD stands for piled high and deep.
It does with him. It does.
And 312 is asking us, where are his parents? Somebody has been funding this kid. That's where I would go. Where are his parents?
They don't say.
I guess at 18, you're legally an adult.
Yeah.
In some states, is it?
Legally an adult, but not legally a doctor, as he's portraying himself to be. You don't just naturally become a doctor at the age of 18, like Dr. Love is claiming to be.
And the holistic thing, whether you believe in it or not, the people who do holistic training do some training.
Right.
I was asking my acupuncturist, I'm like, how long have you been doing this? He's like, she said 14 years. And she studied in Nepal, and she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Now, she's not a medical doctor. Actually, she is, because she's a chiropractor as well.
Oh, all right.
Unless she... Can't you just put a little printed thing up there?
I think you probably could. I think that's what he's done.
Can't you print up equipment on a 3D printer nowadays?
I think you can.
That's where Dr. Love got his stuff.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. He's 18 years old. I wonder if they would have nabbed him if he was not 18. Like, he looks like a kid. But if this was somebody in their 30s or 40s that looked more doctorly, would they have ever nabbed this guy or girl? I don't think so.
No, and I still throw this question out there. Did he help the patients?
That's the best question of all.
What
if his success
know.
Rate is higher than other doctors? That would be a problem. All right, calls are coming in. If you have any thoughts on this, this is Dr. Malachi Love Robinson and Doctors in Italics, because he's not really a doctor.
I'm sure he'll be the Surgeon General under President Trump.
Maybe. We're 312-981-7200. Give us your thoughts, your texts, your phone calls. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. A week ago here on the show, Wendy and I were telling you about an 18-year-old kid Malachi Love Robinson, who's been posing as a doctor. He's done it on more than one occasion. They just did a report on him on ABC News. I saw Matt Gutman talking about this kid who looks like a kid. He doesn't even look 18 years old.
He does look like a kid.
But he's been fooling everybody. We've got a couple of calls at 312-981-7200. Your thoughts on the good doctor?
Dr. Love, Jeff, what do you think about this?
I think that I've seen it before. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm a private detective here in the Chicago area. And a couple of years ago, I was asked to investigate from an insurance company. A very clever woman at an insurance company thought something was fishy. And long story short, it turned out that this young man had found a dental suite filled with equipment that was being sublet, and he found the financial means to lease it, so he had all the equipment, and he went on the internet and faked licenses that he hung on the wall, and for almost 3 years he provided dental care to hundreds of people, and the only reason he got caught was because he started overbilling the insurance carriers. And a very clever woman who does claims at one of the big major insurance companies smelled something wrong and asked her company to look into it, and he eventually obviously was caught.
How many years did you say, Jeff? 3 years?
He got away with it for 3 years and 2 months.
So did he do things correctly? Because if he was...
He must have been trained somehow, right?
Yeah.
Well, he never went to dental school. He testified that he learned what he knew over the internet and
YouTube.
From reading books.
Or tooth tube reading, in this case.
There you go. Reading medical journals, reading things on the internet. He never once had a complaint to the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation, which licenses all doctors of all kinds. And never once was there an official report filed that he had ever given anyone improper care.
Oh, my God.
He wrote thousands of prescriptions on prescription pads that were printed at Kinko's. And the only reason he got caught was because a very clever young lady who processes claims.
She figured it out.
She put two and two together that he was overbilling for the same services from the same suite of offices they'd always been receiving claims from a previous real dentist.
Yeah.
Why don't these people actually go to school if this is their passion?
I guess you want to jump in
and not spend the money.
Right. Yeah.
This young man admitted in court and to me when I interviewed him prior to him being arrested that, if you remember, years ago there was a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio called
Catch Me If You Can. Yeah.
Well, he saw that movie with Tom Hanks, and he said, if Leonardo can do it, I can do it. And for whatever reason, he chose dentistry. And that's what he testified to, even in court. He said if it wasn't for that movie, he never would have thought about it and never would have figured out how to get away with it.
It's amazing. That's amazing.
It is amazing. I could see if this kid had, you know, the Three Stooges method of pulling a tooth where he'd wrap a string around your tooth and connect it to a doorknob, then he would have gotten caught. But no one complained. That's what's blowing me away.
Yeah.
He hired a hygienist. He hired a dental assistant. He had a full staff, including a receptionist, and nobody ever had a clue until the insurance company caught on to it.
Jeff, did he have Highlights magazines, old ones, in the waiting room? Because that would prove whether or not he is or is not a real dentist.
Well, I'm old enough to remember Highlights, so, thanks for that.
Of course.
Who did you identify most with, Jeff, Goofus or Gallant?
We got to get them on the show, by the way.
I think they broke up.
Probably a little bit of both.
Little of Goofus, a little Gallant. Right.
Yeah, but he certainly had an amazing charisma. No one ever complained about him. He provided, other than oral surgery, he did all, maintenance types of dentistry.
Right.
And never would have been caught if he hadn't overbilled the insurance company.
That's how it works. Jeff, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You're good.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Day.
And I guess I misspoke because chiropractors aren't necessarily an MD. They can be.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But they are doctors of osteopathic medicine or something.
All right. Okay. So be warned, if you're anywhere near the offices of Malachi Love Robinson, if you need some surgery done, he might not be your best option.
Well, if you need a ride there, someone has texted in. His name is Tom, and he says, I'm a pilot, never actually flew a plane, but I live near the airport and watched Airplane. Oh. All aboard.
All right. That seems safe. Let's take a quick break. Andre's got the news coming up next, and then way more show. It's us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. And yes, we see the sun shining today, but it's I'm still wearing a winter coat.
Yep, it's going to be like that for a while here.
Saw a guy in a parka in front of me in the elevator today, and I said, really, are we ever going to get warm weather? Well, we have a way for you, the listener, to head over to some beautiful warmer weather in the greater Fort Lauderdale area. And in the studio with us right now, the president of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau. Her name is Nikki Grossman. Hi, Nikki.
Hi there. Good morning.
Nikki, tell us stories of the warmth of Fort Lauderdale, please.
Well, first I want to tell you about my experience getting into the taxi after my flight and hearing the cab driver as I was shaking and freezing and shivering so hard I couldn't hear say, well, this is mild.
It is.
Said, we haven't had below zero. You know, you got to come when it's really cold here. And I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that when I left Fort Lauderdale, it was 79 degrees and there was sun. And for about 350 days a year, that's about what it is. It's just another one of those days.
But you say 79 degrees, but with the wind chill factor, it's really 78.
With the wind chill factor, it's about 83. So, because our wind comes in from the ocean and kind of warms everybody up. And it's a wonderful place to unchill, and it's a great place to enjoy the sun and get over all of the sadness that you build up during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And even a short break into the sun helps relieve your doldrums and winter sads, as
it's
they
proven,
call it.
Yes. And seasonal anxiety disorders.
Disorder, correct. And one out of 10 people have that in the Midwest United States,
one
out of 16,000 have it in the state of Florida.
Oh.
And I'm figuring that has to be the person who's leaving tomorrow. You know, it can't be, you can't, you know, this sun is glorious. It's beautiful today. It's fabulous.
Right.
And I get the chance to wake up to this almost every day, and I'm sorry. And when it's 37 here and 73 there, you just feel the difference. You just kind of acknowledge that there is a distinction between north and south.
Sure,
so. Absolutely. How long have you been president of the Greater Fort Lauderdale?
I have just finished my 20th year.
Congrats.
Thanks.
In your 20 years, have you ever seen snow in Florida?
As a matter, not in those 20 years, but one day when my oldest daughter was 5 years old, there was about a 30-second. We had, I'm serious. It wasn't 32. The temperature was around 38, but there was this, I guess, really cold lower air mass. And as the rain came, there were like maybe seriously 2 minutes of snow. But every newspaper, the Herald in the next morning, and the Sun Sentinel the next day, snow. But so it did happen.
You're
once
sure
in my
it was snow and not coconut shavings from a pina colada somewhere? You're positive.
I have the feeling that Jimmy Buffett didn't have anything to do with the snow that day. So
maybe not.
All right. Well, the reason we're talking to you is because we are giving our listeners a chance to win a little getaway. Talk about the Freezer Breeze radio contest we have going on here at WGN.
Well, they have a chance to hook up with you all and then to find themselves in a glorious warm winter break. Down in Fort Lauderdale, where they will have access to a number of the wonderful amenities that we have there, terrific spas, all kinds of great activities, fine dining. Although I have to say, Chicago, the nice thing about Fort Lauderdale is that you don't have to give up the good food when you leave Chicago and come to Fort Lauderdale. We've got some, too.
Ours, you guys do okay with the seafood, by the way.
Ours consists mostly of 600 species of marine life and edible marine life, and we've got restaurants in our hotels that will cook your catch. If you're out in the Atlantic and you catch a nice mahi, a nice good-sized fish, bring it in. The kitchen will give you a meal that you'll never forget.
Now, Nikki, to be fair, we do that in Chicago. If you hit something on the road here, you can bring that in, and they'll fry it up for you.
We do that with gators, but not that often. So,
We have been having the online photo contest at WGNradio.com, and it ends this Sunday. The grand prize, as Nikki mentioned, round-trip airfare for two from Chicago to Fort Lauderdale, three-night stay at the fabulous Hilton Fort Lauderdale Beach Resort, two VIP cards good for free admission to more than two dozen attractions and activities. And a lot of rock going on. Rockfest is happening. Brett Michaels, Paul Rodgers, Ace Frehley. We were just talking about him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Night Ranger, The Romantics, John Waite. Then you have the Tortuga Music Festival.
Yes.
Blake Shelton, Tim McGraw, Thomas Rhett, Joan Nichols, Kip Moore. I don't know some of those people.
I don't know. I don't know all of them, but I do know that there is huge demand. We've seen a growth in the Tortuga Festival, for instance. It started out at 10,000 attendees 4 years ago. It got 75,000 last year.
Wow.
Jeez,
we
impressive.
Are told, based on what Garth Brooks did in our destination 2 weeks ago, that there's going to be a huge country crowd at the beach in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
But take a nice picture. What would you be doing if you were in Fort Lauderdale instead of in Chicago? And let us know, and somebody's gonna actually get there, and we're very excited about it. And again, it's a question of whether you want the wildlife, which includes 1 million acres of the Florida Everglades, mm-hmm. and the Seminole Indian Tribe, and all the things that they do.
I forgot about
in the
all
Everglades.
That history.
Oh my gosh, let me tell you, they no casinos, no bingo, just where they raise their families. They have a honestly working reservation in Broward County in the Everglades. They educate their kids there. They farm there. And then they've created a museum called the Atatiki Museum where you can learn the history of the Seminole tribe, the unconquered Seminole tribe.
Yeah.
Never signed a peace treaty with the United States, and why the hell not? You know, I mean, they're independent, they're fierce, and they are great marketers.
Yeah.
But they have a wonderful place. And then if you like the other kind of wildlife, like you mentioned, we've got great music festivals coming now.
You know what? We took our daughters to a couple years ago that's right by you in Coral Springs, I think.
Yeah,
there's
part
that
of us.
Butterfly
World.
Oh, what a place that is.
It is a great, wonderful place, and it's one of the few natural butterfly exhibits in the country where there's so little enclosure, because all the things that are planted there create a attraction for the butterflies.
I've never seen anything like
it. One of the most visited attractions in our community.
Love it.
After shopping, Butterfly World right up there. So
I'm also going to say Max Groves near you in Pompano has the best key lime pie I've ever had.
I actually make the best key lime pie
you'll
ever have.
Second best key lime pie in the world.
Second best key lime pie you'll ever eat. But everybody's got their own recipe for it. I have my own tree.
Yeah,
so,
do you?
I do.
And yours are yellow? The limes are supposed to be yellow?
Yes, they get yellow. The longer they stay on the tree, the yellower
they
get.
Be.
The harder, the better. Mm. That's what I got to say.
And no green food coloring ever.
Nope.
Your pie should never be green.
Right.
Okay.
Always
well,
yellow.
We have been having this little contest, the Freeze or Breeze WGN Radio Contest. And as Nikki mentioned, just take a picture of yourself, like maybe even just having a drink with an umbrella in it with snow behind you, mm-hmm. anything like that. But get your entries in by this Sunday, February 28th, and you can go to WGNradio.com/contest to find out all the information. And when are we giving away that trip? Do we know yet? Soon.
On Monday.
It's Monday.
I hope we win
soon.
It, Bill. Keeping my fingers crossed.
Just keep taking pictures, and you have a great shot. There are a lot of ways to get there, and the easiest way is to win a contest. But every low fare carrier in the United States flies into the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. We had a record number of cruisers leaving out of Port Everglades last year. If a cruise is what you really want to do, mm-hmm. You just get to Fort Lauderdale, get on one of 30 cruise ships that mm-hmm. leave from our port. And but getting there is almost half the fun. It's almost half the fun of being there because it's so easy now.
How long a flight is that?
They're telling me to go home. It's 3 hours and 4 minutes.
Is it? Well,
maybe the wind is going the other
somewhere.
Way. Oh, they better not be stopping anywhere. Theoretically, it's a nonstop flight.
You're fueling somewhere. I don't know why they do that to you.
It's the best spent 3 hours. You're warm on the way down.
Yeah.
So. But I have to also tell you that it is not just a winter vacation. We've got fabulous things in the summertime. We do a dine out. We do a spa month. We do the car show, the largest international boat show mm-hmm. is held in Fort Lauderdale.
The air show?
The air and sea show will be in May of this year, the first weekend in May. And the Thunderbirds, I believe, are going to be flying in the air and sea show this year. So it doesn't matter when you come. But when you need it, we've got it.
Nikki, like people say, oh, no, not Florida in the summer. But I'll tell you what, the way the breeze is off the ocean, it works. It is not as hot as you'd think. You feel like it, that, you know,
that's
the
absolutely correct.
Perfect.
And you know what? It gets hot almost everywhere in the summertime now. And right. here, if you're that hot, you just jump into the ocean.
Yep.
And if you want to
be. That's a big difference. Lake Michigan, the ocean.
Yep.
If you want to be underwater, there are 69 miles of diveable reefs right offshore in our community off of Greater Fort Lauderdale. They range from 100 yards from the shore. Mm-hmm. They have smaller dive sites to ships that have been sunk and populated by marine life so that they make great, great dive opportunities.
Yeah.
Fishing is great. As I said, 600 different species of marine life you can catch. Some catch and release and some catch and eat. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends on your mood that morning. We've got 300 miles of navigable waterways inland so that if kayaking or rowing or jet skiing is what you want to do, you do that. We've got a season for turtles. We've got a season for manatees. We've got a season for just about every kind of species of protected marine life. And it's just... It's a wonderful, warm, and exciting environment to be in. And you mentioned your daughters, and yeah. I have to tell you that this used to be a place for college spring break. And we have created spring break as interruptus, we call it. No more spring break. What we've got there now is a year-round diverse destination. We have great Caribbean population there with great Caribbean attractions and food. We have a large African-American community with one of only three in the United States African-American research libraries. Mm-hmm. The American Tennis Association is about to move to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how many tennis courts we've got in Fort Lauderdale?
Hundreds.
We have almost 300 public tennis courts. Yep. Anybody that wants to play, 58 golf courses, public golf courses, where, by the way, you can play in February outside.
Yeah, it's nice.
And all 24 hours.
Well, she rubs it in, doesn't she?
That's my
Nikki
job.
Grossman.
That is my
job.
For 20 years, she's been president of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, and you're having great pleasure telling us how great it is there when we're looking at this cold weather. Is it true? We've been mentioning that the Greater Fort Lauderdale area receives, on average, 3,000 hours of sunshine a year, while Chicago only 189 days of sunshine.
And that's what creates the distinction between 1 out of 10 people having seasonal disorder and 1 out of 16,000 people having seasonal disorder. We get it. We go outside and there's the sun. You got to buy a light, a lamp. So don't buy a lamp, buy a ticket.
Wow.
Or get in the car.
Is that the tagline? Because it should be.
No, well, it may be after today, but no. That talk about rubbing it in, that's a little tough, but... Again, multi-generational family visits are very popular in our destination. There's something for grandma. There's something for mom. There's something for the kids. There's something for dad. There's something for everyone to do together, we hope, or separately. We have the Museum of Discovery and Science, which is a wonderful hands-on exhibition for kids. It has an IMAX theater. We have a performing arts center, and we've got Lauderdale Underground. When you mentioned some of the music, we've got some hot stuff. We've got some wild life in Greater Fort Lauderdale.
You sold us.
Now.
We're going. You talked us into it.
And all of our every element of our visiting population. We had 15.3 million visitors to Fort Lauderdale last year. Not accidental. They came to Fort Lauderdale. Not important to you, but to us it is. They spent $14.3 billion.
Each?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of money.
No, Donald Trump stayed home last year, so it wasn't each, but I will tell you that there was something for everyone. The second most visited attraction in the state of Florida, because Disney World does their attractions based on the Magic Kingdom, the Epcot, and all each one
separately. Individuals.
They had the number one attraction at Magic Kingdom, 48 million visitors.
Yeah.
Our 1.6 million square foot, shaped like an alligator, indoor fashion discount mall called Sawgrass Mills had 46 million visitors.
Look at that.
And so shopping has become a big attraction in Florida.
Everywhere.
Very affordable to get there, very affordable to be there, and very affordable to buy there.
And here's what you can do. We have partnered with the Greater Fort Lauderdale to let you upload a photo of you and your favorite summer activity, experiencing it in the winter, and you're entered for the chance to breeze off to sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida. One grand prize. The deadline is this Sunday, February 28th. So if you're listening right now and you'd like to win round-trip airfare for two from Chicago to Fort Lauderdale and stay three nights and enjoy a lot of great things, enter at WGNradio.com. KeyLimePie.com/contests. Thank you so much for coming in and making us feel even worse about our weather here.
Key Lime Pie next time, Nikki. Promise us.
Oh, I will. Absolutely. Key Lime Pie. If TSA lets me bring it, you guys. And we also have a great opportunity occasionally to host your Blackhawks. We are one of the South Florida community with our own ice rink and hockey team.
Yep.
And the Panthers and the Blackhawks have opportunities occasionally to butt heads.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Puck around with each other.
Oh,
you had to go blue on us.
Sorry.
You had to go blue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I have enjoyed it, and thank you for warming it up for me, even though I still consider this to be obscenely cold. And I hope your winter stays like this, but not every day. You need a reason to get down there.
So true.
President of the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, her name is Nikki Grossman. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Listeners, enter to win.
Do it now.
WGNradio.com/contests and Sunday.
We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
May I add a little something else to this freeze or breeze contest to Fort Lauderdale? Just really, all you have to do is upload a picture of you doing something that you would want to do in summer. I don't know how they're choosing the winner. Be creative if you can. You upload a photo of you and your favorite summer activity, and then you'll be entered for the chance to breeze off to sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida. One grand prize. So as we mentioned, the grand prize winner will receive a trip for two to Fort Lauderdale. You get your round trip airfare for two. You will stay at the fabulous Hilton Fort Lauderdale Beach Resort with designer furnished rooms, pool with private cabanas.
Private cabanas?
Yes. I know it's cabana, but banana cabana.
No, that was fine.
And you will get free admission to more than 24 attractions as you get two VIP cards, sunglasses, a Hello Sunny Beach Starter Kit, a $25 Visa gift card, a Polynesian show for free. And
at the Maikai restaurant, by the way, which is really good.
Yeah, you're familiar with
this
whole
area. I know that area a little bit, yeah.
And here's the thing. If you don't win that grand prize, two runner-up prizes will be awarded as well. You'll receive a complimentary two-night stay at the Palmer House Hilton Hotel under the Just Chillin' package, standard guest room accommodations of king or two double beds, depending on how well you and your spouse are getting along.
Maybe you're fighting when you're there. That's fine.
Complimentary guest room internet, breakfast buffet for two at Lockwood for two mornings, a Chillcation welcome kit. So really, these runner-up prizes are valued at $599 and the grand prize valued at $3,250. So mm-hmm. What are you waiting for? Upload a photo of you and your favorite summer activity and enter the Freeze or Breeze contest to go to the Greater Fort Lauderdale area. You can go to WGNradio.com/contests.
In a little while, we're going to talk to Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have a question about your favorite TV show or a comment, Kurt's your guy, and phone lines usually fill up pretty quick. So if you do have something in mind, 312-981-7200, we'll do that right after the news with Andrea Darlis next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, sometimes I feel sorry for you.
Because why?
And sometimes I just think couldn't be more adorable
What do you mean?
I am surrounded by guys all the time, so when there's a girl here, like Andrea or Jill, or
right.
When Stephanie walked in the studio, we usually talk hair and makeup.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I know. Wendy, I feel that way when you guys walk. I love you, Bill, but yeah, when you walk in, Wendy, I'm like, oh, yes, thank
I know.
You.
Finally some estrogen.
Estrogen, yeah,
right.
Baby.
Although I don't have as much as I used to.
How did that happen?
But you were so sweet because, you know, we were talking about eyebrows and eyebrow pencil,
right.
And you feigned interest so beautifully,
well,
so thank you.
That's what a guy does, is you pretend to be interested, and then eventually you can take a nap.
He just kind of does a uh-huh, uh-huh.
No,
oh, yeah.
He said he was very, used superlative words and saying, you know, oh, fantastic.
I told Stephanie, our assistant program director, her eyebrows look recently threaded, and I don't even know what that means. But I said it, and everybody nodded. Everybody went, yeah, they were recently threaded. Kurt Wagner's had his eyebrows recently threaded. He's over at TVShowPatrol.com.
Another guy.
How are you, Kurt? Nice to
Good.
See you.
Morning.
I hate to start this out on a sour note. However, I have to.
I'm with you.
We were so excited. You already know. We were so excited about the X-Files returning, so excited, and there were some better episodes and there were some that were not so good, and then they pull out the final episode of The String, the sixth episode, last week.
It was the worst.
It was so unbelievably bad, Kurt.
But for the momentum they had built, there was I believe the third one was a little It was too much for me. I know they've had fun before in the past, but it just seemed very exaggerated or something. But even that, it shows the different types of episodes they could have. Mm-hmm. And then you're waiting for the finale and the weakest one of all, in my opinion.
It was
disappointing.
Yeah. It was disappointing.
Unfulfilling.
You're right. It was.
It was like a third grader wrote the script.
And I think that one was a Chris Carter one, too.
Yeah, it was.
Was the creator.
He co-wrote it with two other writers. I watched.
I think the fourth one I didn't like very much either. Or was it the fifth? I don't know. I can't remember now. But one of them, Chris Carter, also wrote.
Yeah.
Those were like the two. The last one and that other Chris Carter one were my least favorite.
Are they setting this up for another movie, which Chris Carter said he was not proud of making anyway?
I don't think so.
Why are they leaving us in suspense?
You know, Fox is still saying, oh, we'll do it if they want to do it another season, six episode season or whatever season. But yeah, the way that ended.
It was so bad that I've been a fan of the show, both Wendy and I, since day one. The last episode was so god awful that I said to myself, if they do renew this, I don't want to see anymore. I'm done with it.
Oh, you,
that bad.
Shame on you. Would you rather watch the Bears?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It wasn't as bad as the Bears.
Yeah, and just everything that happened in that episode, the pandemic, it was like they rushed everything. Like, that should have been
drawn out a little.
That could have been over.
The whole six episodes.
It wouldn't have happened in a day the way they portrayed it on the show.
Right. And Scully, who's always been the skeptic.
Yep.
It's, you know, she was just the opposite side of that. It was like the
totally buying it.
X-Files universe.
Yeah.
Almost, you know.
And, you know, when a pandemic's going on, if I may just say this.
Yeah.
And the whole world is in pandemonium.
Yeah.
And there is back-to-back traffic. You're not going to get through in your lovely Ford Explorer.
I know the car is great.
She was able to get close enough to be able to run, and then he sees her. Hi.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there was a scene at the beginning where she, Agent Scully, became an alien for a little while. They never addressed that again. They never talked about how she just went from being a human to an alien. That just went away.
That was just the opening.
Yeah, I think that was just a
dream sequence.
Yeah, it was just kind of like an in her head type of thing, you know, because they were talking about how everybody has, or how they thought everyone had been given
alien blood.
Alien DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it turned out that the people who got the alien DNA were
the chosen ones.
The chosen ones, right. And so it was just sort of a play.
She didn't turn into an alien.
It was just sort of like a visual play on.
She showed her become an alien.
I know, which was cool, a cool effect. But yeah. It was just a visual play on.
That's
that
why she
idea.
Had plastic surgery, Bill.
Is that why? I couldn't tell why.
But you know, the thing that I thought was cool was the whole how Smoking Man, what happened to him, and how he got back to his.
Can I tell you,
old smoky self?
Watching my 16-year-old son says to me, "I cannot look at a stoma." The stoma was making him crazy. A smoking stoma.
Yeah. Yep.
That was pretty.
Yeah.
So they know how to disturb people. They know how to scare people.
How to disappoint people.
And how to disappoint people. Because boy, that last episode, the worst thing I've seen on TV all year, including the Bears. Sorry. Let's go to another reboot, and that's Full House into Fuller House. Is that already started? You seem disappointed in that.
I didn't really like Full House. So,
Full House was terrible.
I liked it. You know, just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's terrible.
When was the last time you saw an episode? Watch an episode and tell me.
Six months ago?
Pick the best episode ever of Full House.
I have plenty.
It's terribly written. Dave Coulier is the greatest actor of our generation. You're not going to get any argument on that.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I thought it was a cute show.
All right.
The greatest, what do they call that when you ham it up?
Overacting?
Yeah, but I mean, there's...
Pulling an OJ?
I can't think of the word, but anyway, that.
Yeah.
So you didn't like the show to begin with.
Right.
I bet this is worse.
But here's the deal. I would say that if you liked that show... You're going to love this.
Really?
It's more of the same?
Because it's just as bad
as
that was.
He picks me up, then he drops me.
The original cast members, the older folks, the parents, they're all on for the first episode, and then I think they pop in here and there.
No Olsen twins.
Throughout the season.
No Olsen twins.
But the other two sisters...
DJ and...
Miraculously get back together after their adventures apart. And plus, what's her name?
Kimmy Gibbler.
Kimmy Gibbler.
Huh. Yeah.
So basically, it's about those three women raising the oldest daughter's sons.
Oh, so it's a reverse of what we saw the first time around.
Genius, I tell you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yep. Does John Stamos eat yogurt in every scene? Greek yogurt?
I think he might actually in a scene.
Okay, you guys are just jealous.
But they do a lot of looking at the camera and
little takes to the
camera,
little
winks and things like that.
Why does everybody do that now? Because even I know Modern Family and The Office. I guess was the first time I really saw it on a regular basis.
You know, The Office was set up like they were being interviewed or whatever. This is not set up like they're being interviewed.
They're just saying to the viewers.
Yeah,
because
they
like
make a comment. They make some joke about the twins couldn't show up or couldn't come.
It was just one.
Yeah. What? All right. Well, they make a joke about her not being able to come back home for this thing, and then they. Because she had to take care of her clothing empire, and then the entire cast looks at the camera
as if to say,
they do have
and
a
I think they
empire.
Actually do wink.
Couldn't they have gotten a troll doll to play the role of Michelle like they did the first time around?
Okay,
all right.
And I think they have twin boys playing the youngest.
Oh, they do.
Boy,
yeah. Wendy handed in a resignation.
Wendy's like giving you the worst.
They did look a little troll doll like. That's what is bothersome to me.
A little.
I know, but they grew up to be beautiful
girls. Beautiful trolls.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. All right. We will take a quick break. And then
you guys will go to hell.
We'll end up there eventually. And then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner is here from TVshowpatrol.com talking about your favorite and least favorite television shows at 312-981-7200. Kurt, Black-ish is getting a lot of publicity this week, and for a good reason. They did what we always used to call as TV fans a very special episode of Black-ish. They went with a very, very serious topic, and that's the treatment that Black Americans get in society today. Normally, the show is your setup punchline variety of sitcom, but not necessarily this week. They went very serious on
it. It was serious, and it was about police brutality and how this one Black family should have decided to react. Or, you know, the two parents were trying to decide, you know, should we let our kids see this stuff on TV?
Right.
Or should we protect them? And the mom was sort of the vein, you know, let's try to keep them innocent for a little longer. And and the dad, Malcolm Jamal Warner, plays the dad, said, you know, they need to see this, you know, and so it's a very interesting conversation.
Malcolm Jamal Johnson.
Oh, it's
or Anthony Anderson.
Anderson, right.
Oh, Anthony Anderson.
You're getting the OJ thing mixed up.
I'm watching OJ.
Can we run a clip? This is from last week's episode of Black-ish, a very special episode of Black-ish. Listen to this.
The system is rigged against us.
Maybe it is, Dre. But I don't want to feel like my kids are living in a world that is so flawed that they can't have any hope.
Oh, so you want to talk about hope, Bo? Obama ran on hope. Remember when he got elected? And we felt like maybe, just maybe, we got out of that bad place and made it to a good place. That the whole country was really ready to turn the corner. You remember that amazing feeling we had during the inauguration? I was sitting right next to you. And we were so proud. And we saw him get out of that limo and walk alongside of it and wave to that crowd. Tell me you weren't terrified when you saw that. Tell me you weren't worried that someone was going to snatch that hope away from us like they always do.
See, you hear that and you say to yourself, well, that can't possibly be from a sitcom, but it was.
Yeah.
And it's good that it was.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good show.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought up with the grandfather character, they brought up. I mean, it was sort of almost three points of view on the subject within the same family.
You know what it reminded me of years ago? The Jeffersons did a Martin Luther King episode that I don't remember. It had a laugh or two in it in the half hour, but for the most part, it was a very serious look at Martin Luther King's life and the impact he had on the Black community. And other shows have done that over the years. I like that for the most part when they shake things up a little bit.
Well, I think sitcoms especially, it's, you know, kind of jarring.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to be sitcoms and funny and everything. But the show is, you know, the show has done that in the pilot. There was a thing in the show in Black-ish when I think one of his kids was going to go to a protest, and he was worried because he wasn't sure his kid was aware enough of what could happen.
Yeah,
that's the protest because he was black.
New York Times says Hope subtly circled back to that 2014 pilot in which Andre worried that Junior was forgetting his blackness. When Junior resolves to join the protest, Andre suddenly worries that his son has become black aware enough to get himself killed.
Right.
So right. that is.
So, you know, they've brought it up a lot mm-hmm. in this show, but this was a very, you know, sort of heavy right. message right. sort of episode. But, you know,
but they didn't overdo it either.
No. It's cool when TV does that. I think, Wednesday night also on ABC, American Crime did this thing where, you know, that's been a very dramatic season. It's about, you know, about bullying, about
same-sex
homophobia,
rape.
Same-sex rape, you know, all this other stuff. And what happened in this week's episode, well, last week, at the end of last week's episode, a kid went to
spoiler
the
high, or no?
Well,
I mean, should you say that?
Slight spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean, somebody got shot in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week was sort of the fallout of that. And with, you know, cutting into the fictional story, they did interviews with, like, talking head interviews with people who had either been victims in real life of high school shootings or the parents of students who had been killed, or teachers or whatever. And it was a very powerful episode too. But I mean, that is a drama, so you expect things, but that was a very unusual way to go.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For a fiction.
Like goes into a news kind of show.
Yeah. And it highlighted and added a lot to that.
Becky, a listener, has one that she also wants to throw in. Hey Becky, thanks for giving us a call. What's up?
Well, I really appreciate you covering some of these topics. I have always had the episode of The West Wing stuck in my head where it was post 9/11. I think it was their first episode afterwards, and they had a bunch of high school students, and the White House was on lockdown, and they talked to them, and they explained in just the best way that Al-Qaeda was to Islam as the Ku Klux Klan is to Christianity, and it put it in such perspective and just... These kids ask questions and they answer it. I just thought it was a beautiful episode.
Yep.
Yeah, that is another good example.
Becky,
thanks.
Thank
you so much. Becky,
appreciate
have a good weekend.
It. Do you remember years ago on Mad About You, again, a sitcom? This was Paul and Jamie Buckman. There was a 3-episode arc where they got separated. They were no longer in love like they were throughout the rest of the series.
Which broke everyone's heart watching.
It was such a rough 3-episode arc. And like I said, normally I like when they do something like this, but they went out of their way to just really make it uncomfortable.
Because they were so perfect together. I couldn't stand it.
It was awful.
I wrote letters. I hope you get back together. I'll pay for therapy.
Right. Wendy offered to pay for therapy. So sometimes it works.
Sometimes
it doesn't.
I mean, there have been real ham-fisted attempts at things.
Sure.
You know, that don't work. But the Blackish, you know, that show, those writers of that show, the creator of that show, they seem to always be on point.
Yeah.
You know, that gets so much critical praise.
It seems like they're going out of their way to give a sitcom to almost every, like there's one about a black family and about an Asian family and about a Jewish family. And then there's one about an Irish family coming out. The Real O'Neills.
Yeah.
That's coming out soon. Do you know anything about Real O'Neills?
I think it's funny. I've only seen 2 episodes. But I laughed at both of them, and the fun part of that is the mom, Martha Plimpton, wants to be this picture perfect Irish Catholic family, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, her and her husband are getting separated, and each of the kids has some kind of thing that they have to reveal in the first episode, and so, you know, her idyllic image of her own family is sort of thrown into disarray.
Never know what's cooking in someone else's pot.
Right.
You really don't. Can I fly through these really quick? Because every week they want to know. Please ask about the Red Road and Bloodline quickly.
All right. What about
Are they coming back? Are they?
I'm not sure Red Road is. Bloodline, I believe, is on Netflix. I'm not sure Red Road is because I've read a lot of those actors are being cast in other
Moved
things.
Moved on to other projects.
Love the show Scorpion. Haven't been this excited about Monday Night in forever. Hope it stays on the air forever.
You'll probably get your wish, at least for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for now.
And I think it's doing well.
Kurt, thank you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right.
That's Kurt Wagner. The website is tvshowpatrol.com. A quick break, and then Kim Gordon with the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. There is, we've discussed this in the past, there is a slight age gap between us And Kevin, our producer, he's a couple of years younger than we are.
Just a couple.
Just a couple of years younger. Although, to look at us, you would think we were all brothers and sisters. I don't understand how that happens, but you look at us, you go, oh.
Yeah. I have an old face. Is that what it is? You guys, I'm going to turn my mic off.
All right. So I had to explain to Kevin earlier the phenomena that is and was Cheryl Teagues, because Cheryl Teagues is in the news, and Kevin wasn't quite sure who Cheryl Teagues was. And I said, I think this is a fair assessment. When we were in high school, Cheryl Teagues was the supermodel, right? Was there another supermodel that had the importance of Cheryl Teagues at the time? Probably not, right?
Kim, do you think it was Cheryl Teagues? Christie Brinkley was still around the same time.
She came a little later, a couple years later, just a few.
Yes.
But right. Cheryl Teagues, yeah. I think, was the first of what they call the supermodels that I remember anyway.
What was Except Twiggy?
Twiggy, I mean, that's was earlier.
Yeah, that's earlier.
That was in the 60s. And even, I don't think they used...
And then the Charlie's Angels girls, I guess, were a little later. Farrah and...
They were around the same time, I think, contemporaries. Because I was in high school for that, so they were about the same time. But they...
But she was Cheryl Teagues was like strictly model. There were other things.
Right. They were all more actresses. Farrah Fawcett did a lot of modeling. Wella Balsam. I still use Wella Balsam to this day because of Farrah Fawcett. It's hard to find. Your feathered hair
looks lovely.
Thank you, Kim. It's very kind of you to notice. So Cheryl, that's who Cheryl Teagues is. If you're younger, if you're of Kevin's age bracket and you go, I don't know who this Cheryl Teagues is, she was the supermodel for a while.
Well, did you look her up, Kevin? Then.
No, I just explained to him. I just told him. And then I carry the pictures of her in my wallet. So I showed him the pictures in my wallet. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've seen pictures of her.
She had a poster, too. A pretty awesome poster in a pink bikini. Do you remember that?
Little Tiger Beat pinup.
Yeah, I do remember that. And she also, one of her bathing suits, I guess you could see through, apparently. The white one. So.
What white one? That white one.
That white one.
A little areola for lunch?
I still remember to this day, in our lunchroom. You know how in everybody's lunchroom in grade school, they'll have teachers serve as monitors walking around making sure that there's some order in the lunchroom?
Mm-hmm. The lunch ladies.
Well, usually, no, the lunch ladies serve up the lunch.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
These would be teachers who are on an off period, okay. And they, so they'll kind of just monitor the lunchroom. Our German teacher at our school, I didn't take German class, so I took Spanish, but he was a man named Herr Schmidt, and he looked like the name. He looked like a German teacher, and he would walk up and down, very kind man. And he saw us all looking at the Sports Illustrated that Cheryl Teagues was in with the see-through bathing suit. And he said, and I quote, and this is the only German you'll ever hear me speak, Achter Liebusch, he said. I don't know what that means.
That last part, because it was a see-through bathing suit.
Is that what it means?
My mother-in-law was German. She spoke German. So it means like, I think, oh my God, my goodness.
Is that what it was?
Achter Liebusch.
No, that would have been the French teacher. So he showed it to the French teacher. The French teacher said that.
Okay, because that's what I'm saying is, you don't really, it's the same kind of meaning, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we knew when he said that, we got something. All right, so here's why I bring this up, the Cheryl Teagues. A lot of people are very disappointed in Cheryl Teagues, and I got to be honest, I'm one of them. Here's why. She says, and I hope everybody's aware of this, Sports Illustrated just put out their latest swimsuit model cover, and what they do is they get some of the prettiest women on the planet, and they put them in the magazine, and whoever's on the cover, that's a big deal if you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Well, this year...
Ashley Graham
is the woman's name. She's one of the three women who are on the cover. They put out three different covers. And she is, as they say... a full-figured model. She is not the typical woman who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She's beautiful. You can't look at this woman and tell me she's not beautiful. But Cheryl Teagues says this is bad because this glorifies being a larger woman, a bigger girl, and Cheryl Teagues is not on board with this.
Have you seen a picture of her? To me, she looks normal. I don't even think she looks big.
I know, but see, here's the thing, Kim, and shame on Cheryl Teagues, because there are full-figured women who are healthy.
Of course.
There are skinny people who are not healthy. So she can't say that because she's backpedaling a little bit. I'll let you do the story.
I'll read you the quote. Here's the original quote from Cheryl Teagues. She says this, I don't like it that we're now talking about full-figured women because it's glamorizing them. And your waist should be smaller than 35 inches. This according to the 68-year-old Cheryl Teagues. And by the way, I hope you remember this. About a year ago, Cheryl Teagues was here. She was on with Bob and Marianne, and we spent some time with her in the green room for a little bit.
Yeah, she was very nice.
Very nice lady.
I'm surprised she's taking this attitude, unless she's had to work so hard to keep her figure, and maybe she has. There are some people that have to work harder than others to keep your model figure.
Yeah, but that's her prerogative.
Exactly.
Right. You know what?
Right.
But and she's claiming that, you know, this 35-inch, it does, if you look up somewhere, it's like a woman's waist is supposed to be under 35 inches, and a man's waist is supposed to be under 40 inches, or else your BMI is up too high.
Yeah.
And that's according to what Dr. Oz said.
Yeah.
And that's what Cheryl is now saying now. That's what Dr. Oz said, and I'm sticking to it.
Mm. Still, I think they've certainly made some progress there at Sports Illustrated after years and years and years of having women who are impossibly thin on the cover. You look at the proportions of the women normally on the cover or in the magazine and you go, who can achieve that? That's impossible. So finally they go more realistic, and then Cheryl Teagues goes, I don't like this.
Shame on her.
Yeah.
And she says, her exact quote, no, I don't think it's healthy. Her face is beautiful. Beautiful! But I don't think it's healthy in the long run. First of all, is she really concerned about the health of Ashley Graham?
I don't think she is. I think she's looking at it from the standpoint of, I was once one of those Sports Illustrated swimsuit models, and this somehow sullies our reputation, but it doesn't.
I want to slap her.
Yeah, me too. It sounds like she's eating like two sour grapes.
If she can finish them. I couldn't possibly eat that second grape.
I love
Please.
This picture of Ashley Graham. In fact, weren't we trying to get her for the longest time? Can we try and talk to her again?
Kevin is on it.
She said no originally when this news came out that she was going to be on the cover, but I want to talk to her. I think that's gorgeous.
So what does she have to gain?
Wait.
What does she have to lose?
Nothing.
What does Cheryl Teagues have to gain in all of this? I don't understand what she... I mean...
That's what surprises me. I think she's just, you know, sticking up for the supermodel, because I know that Cindy Crawford has been interviewed before, and it's not that easy to keep that figure, you know?
I can't imagine it is.
And you think of... you hear these horror stories of all these really wafer-thin models...
Right.
...that they really gave up eating and everything so they could be supermodels.
Yeah.
Are they resentful?
I hope they're not. Well... There's sure other thing. Models who are weighing in on this. Can we take a quick break, and then I'll tell you what other models are saying? And what are you thinking about this? Is this a good thing or a bad thing that Cheryl Teagues is saying? 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there. We'll get to your responses next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, here's what's going on. If you're just joining us, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're easy to reach. 312-981-7200. Cheryl Teagues, former supermodel, or is... If you're a supermodel once, is it like a president where you're always considered a supermodel? Is it for life with a supermodel?
I guess you can
I don't want to say former. Let's just say supermodel Cheryl Teagues.
All right.
Is getting a lot of people upset because she is not pleased with the fact that Sports Illustrated has put Ashley Graham, a quote-unquote full-size model, on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Not full-size.
What would she be?
Well, she doesn't like being called plus-size. They're saying full-figured. You can't say full-size. It's not fun size and full size.
Let's go. Yeah, all right. That's fair. I don't know what the terminology is.
You know what? I don't either.
I have no idea what the terminology is. I just know it's not normally what Sports Illustrated represents in terms of models, and most people are thrilled with it, but not Cheryl Teagues. She says that this glamorizes women who are bigger than she is. She says the waist should be smaller than 35 inches. That's according to Cheryl Teagues.
But she's saying for health reasons, which I'm sorry. Ashley could be healthier than Cheryl Teagues
she
is right now.
She seems very healthy.
So, Chris, there are three different covers, from my understanding, and Ashley Graham's on one of them, and then there are two.
Correct. My husband receives the Sports Illustrated magazine, and I'm just wondering what demographic gets what cover. I mean, he got the cover with the hand on the breasts.
Yeah. Whose hand, by the way?
And how can Bill get that job? Right.
I got a weekend ahead of me. I got nothing planned. So so it's probably random, wouldn't you imagine, Chris? It's got to be.
I don't know.
I wonder.
He's 68. He could have gotten, Ashley Graham's cover.
Right.
I think.
I would be almost sure, positive.
Just a random.
They used to do this with TV Guide. They would salute a television show, and if it was the cast of Cheers, there were six different covers, and they would just send them out at random. Okay. I got the one with John Ratzenberger with his hands on his breast. So I was very disappointed.
All right. Well, Chris, have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
And thanks. I'm glad Chris called because there are three different ones. But if you look at Ashley Graham here, I'm sorry, and you don't have to be honest, but that is an attractive woman.
It is.
And
I dare anybody to look at her and not say that that is a beautiful woman. She's stunning.
Hey, guys, can I interrupt you for just a second? We have some breaking news to let you know that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has just endorsed Donald Trump for president. They're having a news conference right now as we speak.
Kim, can you hold on a minute? Both Wendy and I have fainted. Okay. Can you hold on for just 30 seconds, please?
I thought you might want to know that.
Wow.
What? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's all I can tell you right now because they're actually just holding the news conference. But, quote, I am proud to be here to endorse Donald Trump for president of the United States.
Who is that going to help? And is it going to help Trump? And is Trump going, I don't want your endorsements. No, don't do it.
All right, now this is interesting. Cheryl Teague said that she thinks that Chris Christie is unhealthy, that he needs to drop a couple pounds. What's going on with
and
Cheryl Teague?
And he did. Didn't he have the...
He did lose some serious weight. He really did.
I think he found it again. Hi, Laura Lynn.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wanted to let you know, I wish I knew the source, but I don't. But just this past week, there was something on the news that said the BMI is bogus, that it's just an easy thing to do. And that's why it has been used for so many years, because anybody can do the math. And in reality, everyone is different. And what is good for you may not be good for someone else. And I applaud this model that's been on.
Absolutely. Yep.
She looks beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've talked about that before, that how inaccurate that body mass index thing is.
And even the doctor's charts, I told you this before, my 16-year-old is a string bean, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just been a foot taller than all his classmates since he was a little kid. And I never forget being at the pediatrician, and I love the pediatrician, and she's checking the charts, and I said, you know, he's lost a little weight being on these ADHD meds. And she goes, well, he could have afforded to lose some. And I said, what?
Right.
And she said, well, no, not in my eyes, but according to these charts, he was in the heavier category.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're kidding me. You'd look at this kid and he's a string bean.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Now, whose ad campaign was it maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago where they went out of their way to say, we're going to feature in this particular campaign, we're going to feature women of all walks of life, all body sizes, all shapes, all colors.
Dove.
It was Dove, right? Because they put up, it was Dove. Because I remember here in town, they put him up in those little, bus stands, the little glass houses you wait for a bus in. And people were complaining, going, "What? Seriously? That's what they're going to throw me in the morning? I got to see that?" I couldn't believe people were that upset over something like that.
And again, these aren't just like people who are unkempt and unclean
right.
and, you know, having roly-polies over their waistband.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, their width may be larger, but they're toned. I'm telling you, this Ashley Graham looks pretty fantastic. I don't swing that way. If I did, I'd ask her out.
I know that she's been around for a little while. I've seen pictures of her in other magazines over the years, and I always think that same thing. I always go, this is what a model should look like. She's got beautiful eyes, beautiful hair. I'm sorry if her body is not what your normal supermodels is, but you know, this was progress to get her on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It seemed.
And shame on Cheryl Teagues for taking us moving forward backwards.
It's surprising. It really is surprising.
It is surprising from her.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. All right. Very quickly, here's what you're going to get in the second half of the show. An Australian writer, James Allworth, I read a piece he wrote in Huffington Post a day or two ago about what's happening to America. The piece is called "Has the U.S. Gone Blanking Mad?" And he tells a story of an incident he was involved in years ago in Australia and how it relates to what's going on here in America. And it really does. It's an eye opener, as we like to say. So James Allworth will be with us at 1:35. Also, we'll talk a little bit about the Academy Awards that are on Sunday. We have a pair of Jimmy Buffett tickets to give away at some point during the second half of the show.
2:35, we said it.
Yeah, all right.
We said it in the promo.
Yeah, so at 2:35, your chance to win Jimmy Buffett tickets. We also may delve into the fact that Chris Christie has given an endorsement to Donald Trump. Because did you see that coming?
Nope.
I didn't either.
And I want to say one more thing about Ashley Graham. According to Dr. Oz, and this is where Cheryl Teagues got this information, life-saving numbers that you need to know. According to Dr. Oz, your waist size. The physician and talk show host states that women with a waist size larger than 35 inches are at a greater risk of certain chronic diseases like diabetes. And there seems to be some truth to that, because apple-shaped women are more at risk for diabetes than a pear-shaped woman.
Right.
And it says Teagues allegedly jumped the gun by even whipping out that number, because Ashley Graham's waist measurement is 30 inches per the stats listed on her official IMG models page.
Oh, all right.
So she is not worrying about the health of Ashley Graham.
I don't think she is.
And she is, she's ruining it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get Cheryl Teagues for the second half of the show, too. So
Kevin, get Cheryl Teagues.
Shame her.
I've been trying to do that since I was a sophomore in high school, Wendy. I'm not sure we can do it today. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Kim Gordon and find out what's coming up next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You're going places, Alice. You're going to the moon.
No, I'm not, Ralph.
It's Jackie Gleason's, it would be Jackie Gleason's 100th birthday today.
Is he still around?
He's no longer with us. Jackie Gleason left us years and years ago, but his legacy lives on, Wendy, and will forever. Jackie Gleason, one of the innovators, one of the pioneers of television, and I was telling you off air, and now we'll talk about it on air.
Which is what we should do.
That's the way it should go. As a kid, I watched this almost every night on Channel 32 at 10 o'clock, The Honeymooners, and I loved it. And then when I met my wife, then girlfriend, she refused to watch it because she said, and I never thought about this until she said it, that guy is mean to his wife for 28 minutes every single episode, and in the end, he says, baby, you're the greatest, and everything's fine. And I never thought about it, but it's kind of true, isn't it?
I never thought about it at all until I heard Dean talking with Steve Cochran this morning about it being
domestic abuse.
Yeah.
If you watch episodes, I don't think there was a single episode of The Honeymooners where he doesn't threaten her in some way, shape, or form, where they're not fighting all throughout the episode. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of idle threats. And then everything's okay in the very end.
Yeah, but I know you have the perfect relationship, but in some households, you get frustrated by your partner, and specifically men get frustrated by their wives.
Right.
And why I oughta, right. You know, I believe people feel that way.
Sure.
And I didn't think anything of it at the time.
It's the weirdest thing. You know, there's not that many episodes of The Honeymooners. We like to think in our heads there must have been hundreds of episodes. There's not. There's like 60 or something total. And then he went back and did another version of The Honeymooners later on the Jackie Gleason show, the one he did in Miami Beach. So the characters still lived on. It was he and Art Carney. But in every episode, in both formats, there's so much friction. And you don't really think about it until somebody points it out to you and you go, boy, that really is. It's an angry marriage they had there.
But it wasn't. They loved each other at the end of the day. I think it just made it for funny.
But look at the percentages. At the end, they did love each other. And maybe their way of showing, to your credit, maybe their way of showing their love, the Cramdons, was a rougher version of what most of us are used to, myself included. But if in real life, if your parents were at each other's throats for 28 out of every 30 minutes, that wouldn't be a good marriage, would it?
No, and I mean, he would wind up to punch her and even punch at the air and do kind of like a curly thing.
I know.
You know?
He was always flexing his fist and walking like there was going to be a punch of some sort.
But there never was.
There never was, but
we were just seeing his thought bubble. Seriously, and there were only 39 episodes.
39 episodes, that's it. That's it.
And we always watched it because that was the time of the news, and I had my own little black and white TV that I'd go with the broken knob, so mm-hmm. I'd get the pliers and turn it to 32 and watch it instead of the news. Or was it on at 10:30 after the news?
I seem to remember it at 10, but it could have, they might have moved it, or I could be remembering it wrong.
And we watched it as a family sometimes, too, and it's like it never struck me as being...
It didn't me either, until it was pointed out to me. But I will say, to my wife's credit, she did the same thing with The Lucy Show. And for people who don't know my wife, it's not her lot in life to just explain to me how things I've loved my whole life are wrong.
Right.
But I also used to watch I Love Lucy religiously as a kid. During this, it was on in the daytime here, so if I was in school, I couldn't see it. But in the summer, I'd watch it every day.
Every sick day.
Or homesick. Yeah, you'd always watch the, I Love Lucy. And then she said, this is another problem show for me, because what husband in the right mind couldn't tell it's his wife trying to pretend she's a band leader or whatever? You know, sometimes she'd want to perform at his club. So all she would do is she'd put on a fake mustache.
I couldn't
and Ricky
tell.
Would fall for it every week.
Although you're like that, too. You're much like your wife, because the whole thing in The Martian you couldn't accept was this couldn't be real. You're there to be entertained. It's not really to be factual.
No, I know that.
But the Honeymooners thing is intriguing to me.
The funny, one of the funniest cartoons I've ever seen in my life, and I wish so badly I could remember the cartoonist, but years ago I saw a cartoon, and here's what you get. You have two astronauts, and they're on the moon, and they see a woman's body, and one of them is lifting up the body and looking at the face, and he says, it's Alice Cramden. He finally went and did it.
Bang zoom to the moon.
Bang zoom to the moon, Alice.
I just think that was the dynamic, because I mean, I remember my dad died when I was 10, so I don't really recall my parents fighting very much, although my brother and sister say they did. Not bad, but we in our family, we raise our voices. Mm-hmm. I remember my grandparents fighting all the time.
But to the extent, we just found out 39 episodes of The Honeymooners, and I don't remember all 39, but close to all 39. They were at each other's throats for all 39 episodes, I believe. I don't remember an episode where they were all friendly all through the episode. That would have ruined The Honeymooners.
Yeah, I mean, that was the charm of it. Jeff, what do you think about this? Did you ever think that it was, you know, almost spousal abuse?
I thought the thing was so non-threatening because Alice never broke down. Never looked like she was sad. It was always, he was such a big blowhard, and she'd just blow him off.
Yeah,
and she stuck up for herself. It wasn't like she was cowering
she
in a
did.
Corner or anything.
No, she did.
It was like, right, Ralph.
Right.
And with that voice, seriously, you wouldn't want to... With that voice, I mean, you know, Ralph.
She was so beautiful.
She was beautiful.
I
was
think,
it Jane Meadows?
Audrey Meadows.
Jane Meadows married Steve Allen in real life.
That's right.
Right? So those were the Meadows sisters. I think it was the first of the trend, and we still see this today, of guy who couldn't possibly get that girl to be his wife on TV gets that girl to be his wife. You know, like how Kevin James had it on King of Queens, how almost every guy gets it in every sitcom. You go, wow, I know who's getting the better part of that deal. Actually, I live that in my own life, so what am I talking about? How did I get the wife I got? That's not fair. So I rest my case. I guess it does happen in real life.
Although I always thought, even back then, it's like, you know, you had your wife who, I mean, that was the time too. You had a wife who was a little subservient. They'd come home from work, you'd serve them a drink, kind of madman-esque,
yeah.
And they'd dress up and they'd make themselves look great.
Right.
And then it seems like the husband worked hard all day and then he could take his pants off like Jeff Garland does on the Goldbergs afterwards.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you found nothing wrong with the Honeymooners. You thought, that's a loving couple. They just express themselves that certain way.
I was young then, and I watched the thing, and I never found him to be threatening. He was just a big blowhard, and she never looked like she was threatened. She just blew him off, and, you know, like, Ralph, you know, get lost, or whatever she'd say.
Yeah.
But then she took care of him.
It was a situation that made it feel uncomfortable, I didn't think.
Yeah, I didn't feel uncomfortable, and you know, she would stick up for herself, so I guess that's why I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And she loved him because she tried to help him out.
Right, that's
and
true.
And then Baby, You're the Greatest was his way of saying, all right, you're right.
Yeah. I always liked that she was always cleaning, but that apartment was about the size of a closet. You could clean that whole apartment in less than 5 minutes.
I know.
But she always had a rag. She was buffing something.
Thank you, Jeff.
Make this place look better.
Cleanest apartment in all of Hollywood.
No TV either in there.
Oh,
no TV,
you're
just
right.
A window to the fire escape. That's their only entertainment.
Where they could call Naughton.
Right. Right.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Hey, I think maybe we liked the tension because if you think about it, Archie and Edith Bunker, Ray Romano's parents.
Yeah.
And even George Costanza's parents. Those guys were always fighting.
That's true, isn't it?
You know, that's honestly where I learned it. Because really, my grandparents were like that. My grandfather was very handy and would do everything. And my grandmother was very bossy.
Yeah.
And he broke a chair once and sat down in the chair. And she said, oh, that's great, steel ass. You just sat down and broke that chair. Now go fix it. But it wasn't like... I know it sounds so terribly mean, but it was like
that's just the way
ribbing.
They dealt with it. Yeah, I know.
In my family, horse's ass is a term of endearment.
But I heard that too. It's just that's how it was. It's like you couldn't even admit you were in love with each other.
Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you, Dave.
There were no kids, obviously, on the show, on the Honeymooners. Neither the Cramdons nor the Nortons had any kids. I think because of all the fighting, there was no time to have kids. They were always at each other's throats. But think about, like, if you were a kid and those were your parents, if the Cramdons were your parents and you just watched them fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, wouldn't you go, oh, this is doomed. We're never going to make this as a family.
But, listener, I think that was Dave who just brought up the Bunkers. It's the same thing. And Gloria did see her parents fight all the time. And then she and Mike, the meathead, would fight as well. So, I mean, that's just how it was, kind of.
Yeah, I know. But would you put the Honeymooners under that bracket of shows they probably couldn't? Like, if somebody pitched that today and said, you got a bus driver and his wife, she just stays home and buffs the small apartment, he comes home, they're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and then in the very end, he goes, baby, you're the greatest, and they hug. That people wouldn't watch that. They wouldn't buy that, would they?
I don't know if they might. Because, Bernie, you're talking about Ray Romano's parents, too, and the Costanzas. We did buy that. We do buy that.
Yeah, I had heard years ago that Ray Romano based that on his true parents, and I think that's why we bought it. You don't show much on TV other than, you know, All in the Family and Everybody Loves Raymond about what people are really like. Like you said, Goldberg's taking his pants off as soon as he gets home.
You know, next time we talk to Jeff Garland, I want to slap him because my two boys and husband do that now.
Oh, because of him.
Yeah.
Nice. That's great.
That's good.
Thanks, Bernie. And
you know, even you talk about Everybody Loves Raymond, his parents did fight all the time, but to some extent, he and Patricia Heaton in every episode were fighting over something too, weren't they?
Because in my opinion, that's real life.
You need conflict.
And real life happens. Not everybody just says, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know, honey. What do you want to do? I mean, there is conflict in everyday life, isn't there?
Yes. But I think the part that my wife pointed out to me that for some reason, I don't know why I didn't notice this, is that you see Jackie Gleason, you see Ralph Cramden balling up his fist and like walking around like, I'm going to hit something. I don't know what, but somebody's going to get pounded. And that's violent.
But he didn't do it.
He never did it.
Again, we're just seeing his thought bubble.
Right, right.
I'm sure there have been men and women who to this day are, you know, boy, I oughta.
Yeah.
Barb, did it make you uncomfortable?
Yes, it did. Growing up as a grade schooler, I lived in a household that felt very much like that. And whenever that show would come on, I just could not understand what anybody thought was funny about it. And even watching the Jackie Gleason when he had the variety show, I could not stand to have that on TV. It even to this day, I still feel the emotion of it.
It hit too close to home for you, didn't it, Barb?
Yes, it did. It did. It just, I just couldn't understand what was funny at all about that show.
Well, thank you, Barb. We appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Barb.
What was funny about it is the timing on the show was impeccable. The comedic timing that he had with everybody around him was just so good, and the writing was so sharp. I think it's just the concept that after it was pointed out to me became disturbing. But boy, before I put two and two together, I was loving every minute of it. But then even to this day, every once in a while, I'll see an episode and I'll go, wow, it does seem like they're going to fight. It does seem like they're going to...
But
did they? Well, they verbally did, just not physically, thankfully.
Yeah, but
that would have ruined the show quick.
Yeah, that would have been bad. 39 episodes, there would have been one.
Right.
But I can relate to that, whereas like the Waltons, I couldn't relate to that because they were too nice to each other.
Yeah, too sugary.
Good night, John Boy.
I know.
Mole Man. It was a birthmark. It wasn't a mole.
Oh, right.
But That right. I couldn't relate to because it was like, you know.
A little saccharine.
Yeah, I wish I my life was like that, but it wasn't.
I know. All right, a break and then more of your thoughts on this. It's Jackie Gleason's birthday, and what better way to celebrate than to criticize him? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
I hear the song and I get all nostalgic. Do you? You hear this and it's beautiful and you think about the moon rising over the city, a black and white moon and Jackie Gleason's face is in it. And you go, well, let's sit down and enjoy the next half hour of a couple who loves each other fighting. And then at the end, everybody's happy. For the last few seconds.
So I just discovered today that it was abusive when I listened to Dean talking to Steve, but your wife Terry told you a while back.
Years and years ago, as we sat down to watch an episode, she said, I can't watch this. All they do is fight, and then in the end he tells her he loves her, and they pretend nothing bad happened. And she's kind of right. It's one of the best TV shows of all time, but she's kind of right.
All right, and Wayne has a comment. Hi, Wayne.
Hello there.
What do you think, Wayne?
I noticed a big difference between the shows from 20 or 30 years ago or before what we have today. You have the men, and I'll have to admit the fact that I didn't realize that it was being abusive just because I was so young, but you had the men that were always criticizing the wives, but by the end of the show, every single episode, it was the wife that was always right. Okay, and compare that to today.
It's still the wife who's always right, isn't it, Wayne?
No, I have no problem with that. What I'm doing is talking about is the comparison between that and today, where you've got the women always criticizing the husband, and at the end of the show, it's still the woman. You know, there's nothing that says, well, maybe she was wrong. You know, it's
that's interesting.
Well, that's the progress we've made in 25 or 30 years. None. Zero.
You call that progress?
No.
No,
it's
he
the
said.
Same. There hasn't been any progress. It's the same. And we do, thank you, Wayne, we do have to admit that for a show to work, for any story to work, a book, a movie, a television show, you have to have conflict. So I understand that. It just seemed a bit much sometimes.
Yeah, it just really didn't.
Not to you.
No, I mean, no. I honestly think that's what I was used to. My family was pretty much always rude to one another.
Yeah.
And I was just telling you off the air, I never realized it at the time, but when I think back now,
right,
we were always nicer to, the stranger's always right. We were always nicer to people outside of the house than we were inside the house. I know that's wrong, but I mean, seriously.
That's the way it was, all
that,
right.
That was it. Hi, right. Ann.
Hi, yes. I always thought that show was like, the people were getting out of the, reflecting the depression and getting out of the depression. They were very frugal. They tried to save every penny they had. And that's what I thought about that show. Their apartment was just bare. But I thought it was like reflection of the depression and they're getting out of the depression. And also, I wanted to mention the Married with Children, Al Bundy.
Oh, sure.
My family was like Al Bundy. And my father's name was even Al. you know, it was a lot of fun. I don't know. We didn't think it was abusive or
all right.
anything like that.
All right. Well, thank you, Ann. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann.
Al Bundy is of the school, and you see a lot of this on television, too. Malcolm in the Middle, Bryan Cranston's character, Hal, is like this, too. Or even Wonder Years is a perfect example. The father who is just so put upon and just has nothing left to give anymore. He's fought the battles with the kids and the wife, and you just see that look of, please, death, take me. I can't do this anymore.
How is that worse? Please, death, take me, than
worse.
Putting your fist up and going, well, I oughta.
I don't know if it's better or worse.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but you mentioned the Wonder Years. I just love that show more than anything.
Yeah.
And was it Dan Loria who played the dad?
Yep.
He worked hard, and he came home, and he wanted to watch TV. But you know what? The mom worked hard, too,
sure.
Making sure everything, all the homework was done, the lunches were packed, the house was clean, the dinner was made. So,
right.
I mean, they both had a lot of stresses.
Undoubtedly.
What's
yep.
different today is you have two working parents, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is totally on edge. They have no energy to fight anymore.
Right. That's it.
That's what it is.
That's right. They got to plug into a fight app on their phones. That's the only option. All right. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and texting in. Here's what's coming up. The news and then a lot more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy and it's WGN. Kim, thank you very much. It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. A lot has been made the past week or so about whether or not Apple should be helping the government by providing backup codes to get into the access of their iPhones. The best take on this, though, comes from James Allworth, who says we are totally missing the point. James has written a great piece for the Huffington Post called The U.S. Has Gone Effing Mad. James, first of all, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Love the piece in Huffington Post. Do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind, let's tell the story chronologically. Let's go back to the date of April 28th, 1996, in Port Arthur, Australia. What happened that day?
Yeah, it was a pretty tragic day in Australian history, actually. A lone gunman equipped with an AR-15 rifle managed to kill 36 people and injure a number of others. It was the bloodiest day in Australia's history in terms of a shooting like this, and it remains one of the most deadly killings by a single person in the world. It was pretty horrendous.
James, where were you during this?
I was in Australia. So right now I live in the U.S. I live out in California, but at this time I was living in Australia. And as you can imagine, something like this absolutely dominated the news.
Yeah.
Like, this kind of thing didn't happen with any regularity at all. It just completely stopped the country.
Yeah.
And this was in 1996. And what is it that Australia did to prevent that from ever happening again? And what should we do?
Well, at the time, there was a conservative prime minister by the name of John Howard. So he was on the right of Australian politics. And he brought together both sides of the spectrum, left and right, to basically pass laws around restricting guns. Now, guns weren't banned by any stretch of the imagination. There are a lot of folks in Australia who farm, who shoot for sport, just like in the U.S. But he basically made the point, look, the weapons like the AR-15, you don't need guns like that to farm. You don't need guns like that to sport shooting. They're really only used to kill people. And so he brought together a bipartisan coalition to basically outlaw these, brought together all the states of Australia, and they bought back all these weapons, assault rifles, and they had them destroyed.
James, there must be some group akin to our NRA that takes place in Australia, right? There has to be.
There absolutely was. And just like in the U.S., when this idea was promoted, they came out in force. There were people protesting in the streets, big protests. These weren't just a few people, big protests. But I think in Australia, just like in the U.S., I think common sense kind of prevailed. There's a large silent majority of people who wouldn't necessarily get out in the streets and protest, but didn't want the threat of this happening to them or their family, and could see no good reason for assault rifles to be in a modern society. And so the Prime Minister stared down these groups, the laws passed, and we haven't had a mass shooting like this since.
Forgive my ignorance here, because I'm not a gun owner. I don't ever want to be a gun owner, and, you know, to each his own. But the NRA cannot possibly agree with assault rifles.
Well, I am actually not sure I'm the best person to answer that. I think they do, but I'm not an NRA member myself. But my understanding is that every time that someone, a politician or a group in the U.S. has proposed banning or placing restrictions on these assault weapons, that the NRA has been leading the charge to prevent that ban or restriction from taking place.
Right, right. All right, so my guess is, James, and you started to allude to this a little bit, it was a hard sell to some parts of Australia that drastic times call for drastic measures and something needed to be done. You don't want a repeat occurrence. 35 good people in Australia were gunned down for no particular reason. It was hard to convince some of Australia, obviously, that was a move that needed to be made, right?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely was. I guess... People all around the world are similar in this respect. They have something, they don't want it to be taken away, and they like, okay, you have one bad actor, why are you impacting all the other bad actors? Or, you know, you get the usual arguments around the guns don't kill people, people kill people. But I think there was just a recognition that while that may be true, you can't, like, the ability for an individual person who doesn't have one of these weapons to go and do what that man, his name was Martin Bryant, like to kill 35 people like that, if you don't have the weapons, people like that aren't able to do this. And there's just recognition that the cost of what will happen to all of us and the fear that we live in and the impact that has if you lose a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, it's just not worth whatever benefit you gain by people having weapons like this in society.
And, of course, the thing that went on in San Bernardino, the guns that were used and resulted in all those deaths there were legally purchased weapons. So, again, I'm very naive to all this thing, this whole gun thing. But how do you buy an assault weapon? You would think it would be difficult to get that.
You would. The shooters themselves didn't purchase the weapons, but someone else did.
It was a neighbor or a friend that purchased them legally and gave it to them.
Correct. Exactly. And this is the issue with even with background checks, right? I mean, I think people know that if they do this, there's a possibility that it will come back and bite them and they will get caught. But if there are folks that are hell-bent on causing damage, it's not enough. Like putting this man in jail is not going to bring back all those people who died in San Bernardino.
James, one of the things I thought you did so beautifully and so eloquently in the article for Huffington Post was to say our attention is kind of being misdirected. There's all this debate whether or not Apple should assist the government with accessing codes to get inside those phones. But why aren't we talking more about the guns? The true problem is the assault weapons that were used, as Wendy pointed out, obtained legally. That's the basic problem we have here. The phone thing is a problem in and of itself, but nowhere near as big a problem as the weaponry.
It just kind of blows my mind that all these people have died and a few months later, the argument that's taking place is whether government should be allowed to bypass or have companies create backdoors in the security of personal devices that we have. How we got from there to here, it just seems like we're not addressing the root cause of the problem. If we're concerned about preventing this from happening again, the killers didn't go out and use their iPhone to kill anybody. It kind of boggles my mind that the logic of the government is people got shot, therefore we need to get a backdoor into your phone. It just blows my mind.
It should. It's as baffling as can be.
And some of the texts that we're receiving right now, 708 says, you will recall the reason for the Second Amendment was not to provide weapons for sport. The reason for the Second Amendment was to provide for the populace to be able to defend itself against the government. But the populace no longer wanted that, had become abusive in its power. Well, how long ago was that written? Slavery was legal back at that time as well.
I mean, I'd like to specifically address that argument. I've heard from a lot of folks who've made this argument as a result of writing this post. I understand the idea that, yes, we want the guns to protect our rights. The irony of this situation is that the guns are being used as a reason to take away our rights. Now, 200 years ago, I think having a well-armed citizenry was actually really important. Like, the risk of war, like, we didn't necessarily have a well-equipped army, the history with the British and the War of Independence, all these things, it made sense back then. But right now, the guns, I can't think of very many rights or defense of civil liberties or defense of our rights in the past 100 years that guns have been pivotal to defending. What I can say is that the security of our private communications in the modern era is way more important than guns. You take a look at all the uprisings that have happened around the Middle East. They didn't start with guns. They started on Facebook. They started with secure messaging. This is one of the most important rights a modern society has, and the government is using guns to take it away.
I am not a fan of guns. Someone else has texted, and this is a really great question. How is the gang problem in Australia?
I mean, it's possibly not quite as bad as it is in the U.S., but at the same time, it's still an issue. for example, a couple of years ago, we have bikie gangs similar to what I'm sure the US has, or as I'm sure the US does have. And there was a fight between two of them, and a couple of folks rocked up with weapons at Sydney Airport and started shooting at each other and got innocent bystanders. But I can tell you that that problem would have been much, much worse had there been assault weapons involved. The more of these things that there are out there,
yeah,
the more likely that people are to die as a result of them. It's not going to stop the problem. It's just going to reduce the problem dramatically.
James, we need to take a quick break. Are you okay on time? Because there's more we'd like to discuss with you. You're good?
Yeah, but I'm good.
James Allworth is here, who's written a beautiful piece for the Huffington Post called "The U.S. Has Gone Blanking Mad." If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Our guest is James Allworth, a writer for the Harvard Business Review, author of the New York Times bestseller, How Will You Measure Your Life? We're talking to James today about a piece he wrote for Huffington Post earlier this week called "The U.S. Has Gone Blanking Mad," explaining how many of us are debating back and forth about what Apple should do about accessing phone information, when in reality, the true problem are the assault weapons being used.
And I want to read you a couple of things that our texters, no one's calling. Either they're too angry to call, or they're just trying to listen. Of course, James, you're getting
loads
some
of texts.
Some good, some really, really bad.
Yeah.
Here is one that says, if the shooter had used a car bomb, would we want cars outlawed? I'm sure you won't read this on the air.
No, we'd want car bombs outlawed.
Right.
Not cars. It's the weaponry, not the vehicle.
Right. I think you guys said it perfectly.
All right. And here is another one that is just astounding to me from 630. How would people that shoot for sport and hunting hit long-range targets or animals if you have just a shotgun or handgun? But isn't that what the sport is?
So we're starting to get into details right now. So let me talk a little bit about the experience in Australia.
Sure.
Rifles were like you have to have a single shot rifle. So if you want to have a rifle, you can have a long range rifle with a scope and everything else, but it's single shot. You take the shot, you reload the gun, and there's actually more skill involved. Now, I'm not saying that you need to use shotguns or handguns for long distance hunting or sport shooting, but again, if you're sport shooting or you're hunting and there's a degree of skill involved, a single shot rifle, maybe it makes life a little bit more difficult, but it could also be argued makes it more skillful.
Exactly. Bow and arrow. Use a bow and arrow. Right. That makes it even more skillful.
You don't need an AR-15 to hunt, do you?
Somebody called us to task saying it's only the media that uses the phrase assault weapons, and I agree with them. We should not call them assault weapons. You don't assault anybody with those weapons. You massacre people with those weapons. They should be called massacre weapons, not assault weapons.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there is a distinction that these weapons are derivatives of military-grade weapons that whose express purpose has been that have been created for the express purpose of killing people. Now, they may have been toned down a notch so gun manufacturers can sell them domestically, but they started off as weapons designed to kill people as quickly and as effectively as possible.
I will never forget this, James. A couple of years ago when we had the tragedy over at Sandy Hook, and you've seen this many, many times, whenever there's a shooting like this, interest spikes up and everybody tries to figure out what we can do to prevent this. And somebody said, a politician said, this is not the time. This is a day or two after Sandy Hook. This is not the time to be talking about gun violence. And I thought, this is the exact time to be talking about gun violence, is when something like this happens.
Well, so when is the time to talk about gun violence? If it's not in the wake of a whole bunch of innocent kids getting killed, then when are we going to have a discussion about this?
I don't know the answer to that. Isn't that sad?
And this is an interesting thing, too. We had these guns in the 70s and 80s and didn't have these mass shootings. We need to get money into more people's hands so they can have a happier life. and these shootings will disappear again. Now, yes, mental illness and depression does have something to do with some of these, but also terrorism, that's not a mental illness. That is, this guy got a gun, and I know there are a lot of NRA members and gun owners that have done it legally. But then how do we trust that you're not going to give it to someone like they did in the San Bernardino case?
Or take it. Or the more of these things that are out there in circulation, the probability that they're going to be used in an event like this just goes up every time there's one of these out there. It's a question of what people in a developed country, in a liberal society, in a place like the US, which is looked up to by so many countries all around the world, what place do these weapons have? Like, what is the use case? I just, other than killing people, like, I don't understand why else people feel the need. An AR-15, you do not need an AR-15 to defend yourself and your property. It's crazy.
Right. Right. James, are you familiar with the newspaper The Onion, the satirical paper The Onion?
Yeah, very familiar with it. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. There's a headline that they've used more than once after there's been a horrible shooting incident. This, I'll read you the exact headline. No way to prevent this, says Only Nation, where this happens regularly. Which is exactly true. We keep saying, I wish there was something we could do about this. What could we possibly do? But then we don't do anything about it.
The U.S. is the most wonderful country, and it does so many things wonderfully well, and that's why so many people look up to it. So many people want to be here, why I want to be here. But there is sometimes I feel like a deeply held belief that there can't be things that other countries do that we can learn from. And right. I think in this instance, it may actually be a case where, okay, other countries have faced this problem as well. Perhaps there's something we can look outside our borders for and understand. And that's why I brought Australia into this, because they faced the same situation. The killer even used the same type of gun. And since then, it hasn't happened once.
How about that? How about that? And how about the fact that the last 2 years, gun sales have been the all-time biggest, because everybody's so afraid the government's going to come in and steal their guns. So they've gone out and loaded up even more on guns.
And it's just going to result in more people dying.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, he's an author, and you can read his article that we're talking about right now, because there are so many angered people. Make a decision for yourself, but I enjoy the facts being presented in this way. James Allworth, you can go to jamesallworth.com. And you are the author of the New York Times bestseller, How Will You Measure Your Life? That, I take it, is available at bookstores everywhere and on your website?
Absolutely.
James, thank you. Beautifully written piece, and we appreciate you being here today.
Bill, Wendy, thank you so much for the chance to talk to everybody. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's James Allworth. All right. Go on.
No, we can take your calls, because a lot of people are bothered by this. And you know what? I'd like to learn, because when I said, does the NRA support assault rifles, assault weapons, people had said any weapon whatsoever.
People texted in saying they just don't. Yeah,
okay. And I don't know. And every phone line is ringing. So we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. I'm not opposed to having a discussion.
Right. All right. So give us a call. Give us a text. We've got the news next. And then onto your calls and texts, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. We've received a lot of response
hate
to our
texts.
Last guest. There have been a fair amount of hate texts. Some people in agreement, some people not in agreement. Our last guest, James Allworth, wrote a piece for Huffington Post that I think is brilliant. It's called The U.S. Has Gone Blanking Mad. He tells the story about when he was living in Australia in 1996, and there was a gunman who killed 35 people, and Australia hadn't had an incident like that in a long time, and they said, we have to do something about it, and they did, and then there hadn't been any incidents after that. Why couldn't that happen in America? Well, there's a lot of different reasons why it couldn't happen in America. People wanted to comment. They can call us. They can text us at 312-981-7200.
It's funny. When we said we would take your calls on the other side of this, everyone hung up except you, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well. Obviously, we don't see eye to eye. And you know what? I'd like to hear your side of it, and I'm sure Bill would too.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm a daily listener. I love the show. I sometimes send you critical texts, and I apologize for that.
No, it's all right. We learn from them sometimes.
I will note it is a face-off and not a puck drop.
Yeah,
yeah, that bothers you. You get it all the time. And I think next time we talk to Doc Emmerich, we will ask him that, because I think it's either or.
Yeah, so the government...
If you had a gun, would you shoot me right now because said a puck drop?
A slap shot, maybe. Maybe.
A slap shot's fine.
All right.
A slap shot's the point.
Go on, Scott. What did you want to say?
Well, the government, the Army, when you include the active and the reserve forces just of the Army, we have over 2.1 million soldiers in the U.S. Let's assume that every one of them has a fully automatic M4 rifle. That's the assault rifle. The rifle that I own is a semi-automatic AR-15. It looks like an M4, but it shoots one round per trigger pull. It's not the same. It's actually weaker than a deer rifle. Yeah. A deer rifle usually would use a larger caliber round than you would in an AR-15. And then this always kind of goes towards the handguns. At first, you want to criticize the semi-auto, quote-unquote, assault rifles. That's just the first step towards taking away our handguns. About a year ago, I had what looked like a home invasion across the street. I called the Chicago police. It takes them 11 minutes to show up. However, if I'm the homeowner and I'm broken in on, I have an instant way to defend myself with a handgun.
But, Scott, who has threatened to take away your handgun? Has there been anybody who has said, my next move, if elected mayor, governor, president, is to take away Scott's handgun? No one's ever said that.
Well, only about 2 years ago, I think it was, I didn't have a right for a concealed carry license. That I had no right to defend myself when I leave the home. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I had no right to own a handgun in the city of Chicago, no right to defend my home. My option was to get my phone and call 911 and kiss my butt goodbye and wait for the cops to show up.
Scott, how many times have you had to defend yourself?
I have not had to defend myself with a handgun, but I would, there was a murder in Chicagoland. I don't want to get too specific about it. There was a murder last week in Chicagoland where a gentleman was stabbed 25 times in front of his girlfriend's house. And he had no means to defend himself because he wasn't carrying a gun. And he's dead by a blade, not by a gun. So this whole fallacy that only the government should have guns and that we shouldn't have the right to defend ourselves, or that we shouldn't have the right to defend ourselves against tyranny, that we didn't defeat the British by words. And I don't think that we're going to need a violent revolution. But all of these things, we should learn from our history.
All right, we got your text because I remember that saying. We didn't, fight the British with just words. But if push came to shove and you had been walking by when that guy was being stabbed, would you have used your gun and then asked questions later? How do you know the situation?
You could actually look up information on that stabbing. It was actually a homeowner, a neighbor in that neighborhood that came out. He had a concealed carry license, came out from his house and actually stopped that stabbing. But the person still died.
But Scott, you yourself just said a moment or so ago, you've never had an incident where you've needed to defend your home with a gun. So the scenario is just, it's one that could potentially happen.
But it's paranoia, isn't it? That you're ready, you're there, you have it.
I've never had a kitchen fire, but I have an extinguisher.
Right.
Well, you're better than I am, and I have had a kitchen fire.
Well, I mean, should I be defenseless just to, I mean, the other thought is, do you have a right to disarm me to leave me defenseless against any attacker?
But Scott, no, you brought up earlier about the idea that if they take away this sort of weapon, that'll lead to them taking away this sort of weapon. I've never seen anyone say we're going to go door to door and take away everybody's handguns or hunting rifles. That's never happened. That's a fantasy.
Well, the Second Amendment doesn't exist to protect hunting rifles or handguns. It exists to arm the people to defend themselves against tyranny. I know that sounds bonkers, but
is tyranny the greatest problem in our country right now? Is it tyranny? Do I read stories every day about people getting killed because of tyranny? I don't. I hear stories about people breaking into schools or movie theaters or just walking down the street and shooting people. It's not tyranny based.
You make a great point. These mass shootings happen usually in government buildings. Like San Bernardino was a government building, a gun-free zone.
Yeah.
Movie theaters are gun-free zones. Schools are gun-free zones. Rather than trying to get rid of guns from crazy people, that Uber driver didn't have a concealed carry license in Kalamazoo. Rather than trying to disarm all of the people who follow the laws, maybe the laws and the signs and all the gun-free zones might be the problem.
Well, the gun-free zones, in all honesty, are a joke. I walk into buildings that have the decal on the door that has a gun with a Ghostbusters line through it.
Do you laugh at it? Because I do. I go, oh, let's put our guns in the car.
Who in their right mind? If you go in with the intent to do something awful, who sees that gun ban sign
all
and goes,
right, I'll go
better
somewhere
not.
Else.
Yeah.
And someone is texting us, 708, Second Amendment is an amendment. It can be changed like Prohibition and slavery were, right? I mean, we're not in the same times. You don't have to worry about the British coming.
Well, go ahead and repeal it. That would be fine. That'd be constitutional to repeal it.
So then what would you do? Give up your guns?
Well, you'll never repeal it. I'm just being a jerk.
Thanks for being honest, Scott.
Scott, I know we disagree on stuff like this, but as Wendy pointed out earlier, we want to hear everybody's opinion. So, you know, we don't want you to leave angry. We want you to keep listening. And it's okay to disagree on stuff. We're just all trying to find something that works because right now the system we have in place is not working.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be angry so long as you just stop saying puck drop.
All right, that's fair.
Oh, my God. Could you just hang on 1 second? Because Scott has the right to have his self-defense, and there's Joe on the line. I would like you guys to talk, and we'll listen and try and learn from both sides of this. Can you hang on?
Sure.
All right. So 312-981-7200. You and I are on the same side on this. So
yeah, we are.
We're not giving a very good honeymooners-like episode.
I know.
So we'll let Joe and Scott talk when we come back.
Absolutely.
Does that sound good? Yeah. And if you know, someone said, I'm done. I'm not listening to you two. I'll tune back in to see if Roe knows that we have a constitution. If you aren't here, then you're not going to have a chance to win some Jimmy Buffett tickets coming up, too. So.
You dangled it in front of him. Well done. All right, more in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We have got your chance to win a pair of tickets to see James Buffett.
That's Jimmy Buffett to the rest of us, and that's sometime before we leave at 3 o'clock. So sometime in the next 40 minutes, a pair of Jimmy Buffett tickets will be yours to win.
But right now we are talking to Scott, and we had talked to Scott about his right to defend himself. And basically you're just kind of reiterating what Charlton Heston once said, where you can just pry this gun out of my cold, dead hand. Is that it in a nutshell?
Well, no, because if I'm carrying, I won't be dead. I will live forever.
Oh, my gosh. Shush, shush, shush. All right. Now, Joe is also a gun owner. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
Bill.
Hi.
And now, what do you want to say to Scott? I understand you were listening, and you're a gun owner, but you're against assault weapons.
Yes. I know what assault weapons can do. And earlier, a caller called in and said, or texted you and said you should stop calling them assault weapons, but they are assault weapons. When I was in Vietnam, an M16 was an assault weapon that we used to mount an assault against the enemy. And you want collateral damage, and that's all it's for. Anybody who defends an assault weapon in public is crazy, because you don't need it. That's why we have a National Guard. Assault weapons were made for only one reason, and that was to kill as many people as they possibly can. My guns I bought, and this is going to be the truth, my gun I bought about 4 years ago because of what's going on around me every day.
Yeah.
I believe in defending my home, just like Scott said, but I don't see why I need an M16 or an AK-47, and I have several friends, well, not several, but I have friends that own those weapons, and why, I don't know.
Scott?
Semi-automatic rifles can be made, and I mean, they can be, parts can be bought to convert them to fully automatic, and there's no reason why people should have them.
Scott, back to you.
Well, a National Guard is a government guard. It's not to defend the people, it's to defend the government, in my view. I'm sorry, that's how I see it.
But that's who'd be called in, Scott. In a situation like that, that's the exact group that would be called in, would be the National Guard.
But he doesn't, Scott, from what I understand, you don't trust the government in any way, shape, or form. And to me, that does sound like paranoia.
A little bit. If you look at when you have a government out of control, and I know it's not quite that way here, when you look at countries around the world over history that have been kind of out of control, the government's gotten overboard, like the Soviet Union, North Korea, Nazi Germany.
You really think that's going to happen here?
Oh, I know that it won't because of our gun rights.
Joe?
We need to maintain them.
Joe, your thoughts on that? Do you agree with Scott there?
Not at all. I agree with Scott as far as having a gun, to defend your home or to defend yourself. It's not like 2,000 people are going to be marching down the street trying to shoot you. Anything that's where you need assault weapons is going to be something that the government is going to be dealing with to begin with. And it's not like you're going to have the issue where you're going to need assault weapons to defend yourself. I don't see it. You've never seen it. The only reason you see it now is because criminals get a hold of them and start shooting everybody that's not carrying a gun.
Scott?
I certainly think that I agree with Joe about the self-defense. Self-defense is the first law of nature. Everyone has a right to self-defense. The government should never interfere with that. And whenever it does interfere with that, it leaves people defenseless. Never having to have assault rifles. I mean, when we defeated the British, we had the same rifles and even at one point better rifles than they had. We had rifles instead of muskets. You know, we had rifling in the barrels, and we figured out how to have shots that had everything put together rather than having to pack that round kind of old fashioned style.
Joe made the point
far
that
far less armament than the government.
But these weapons were used to kill a large amount of people because, I mean, isn't war different than what we have going on right now?
A lot different. Scott, can we meet in the middle and have assault muskets? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, if you paint them black, then you have to call them an assault musket.
Right.
That's what we do with our rifles. The AR-15 that I own, that is semi-automatic,
yes,
it is less powerful than a semi-automatic deer rifle. The deer rifle might be a 308 or a 30-06. I have a .223. And if you don't know what that means, then you're a commie.
I'm not a commie.
I don't
Does
know what
that
it means.
Mean that you
I'm a communist,
can't you
I
still wouldn't that bullet still penetrate me and kill me?
If you're a deer.
Yeah,
I'm not a deer.
The AR-15 semi-auto is a civilian version of an M4 full auto military.
I don't know what you're saying.
Rifle. And so an M4 full-auto military rifle, actually, with a full metal jacket, not a hollow point. It's designed to wound, not to kill. It doesn't make it any, you know, it doesn't make for a happy day. But
Scott, where do you live? I don't want to go anywhere near your house.
Oh, I tell you what. I got cameras and everything. No,
paranoid, like I said.
All right,
Scott, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And Joe, thank you for getting your side out, too, because, I mean, that's how we get along here at WGN.
Hopefully, yeah.
At least during our show.
Right.
We have a discussion.
Right, and I don't mind it either. I don't think Scott's a bad person for wanting what he has. But what I just can't wrap my brain around a weapon that I've seen in action before, just being in a public person's hand. I mean, it makes no sense why people in public or in the general public can get their hands on that type of weapon.
Because it shreds
people.
It shreds you to pieces. Yeah.
All right, finally, before we let you go, Joe and Scott, if you can hang for 1 second, I want to read this text, and some of it I have to edit, but I'd like your take on this. This is what 847 is saying to us, Bill.
Yeah.
You guys are huge liberal P-words. You are so...
Yeah, that's
true so
wrong.
Far?
Right.
You are so stupid because you have no knowledge of... Oh, it's coming fast and furious. I just lost it. You have no knowledge of guns. And have no idea how bad your future would be with no guns in the hands of the citizenship. Should we ban free speech and press to such as your liberal points of view? First Amendment ban?
Maybe that person should listen to the conversation. Nobody said nobody would have a gun.
Right.
I have a gun and I'll never get rid of it now. But I don't need an assault weapon to defend myself. I need a gun. If I need a gun, I'll have a gun. But I don't need to shoot 75 bullets into somebody just to make them stop and fall down.
Right.
Just makes no sense.
All right, Scott, last word right now. Go. 10 seconds.
My AR-15 only has 30-round magazines and a semi-auto, so it'd be difficult to use 75 rounds.
All right.
Okay,
can we just
30 rounds.
Can we just hold hands and give a group hug?
Sure.
Guys, the only magazine I have is People Magazine, and it's going to stay that way.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, guys, for the calls. Appreciate
it,
Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you
so much. See, wasn't that nice?
I hope so.
I didn't learn anything because, you know, we all have our own views on this, but it's nice to listen to people.
Hopefully, yeah.
And I don't have an AK anything, but I do have an AARP card.
Well, that's something. You're on the road. All right. We're going to take a break, and then news, and then more show.
Stay
and
tuned.
Jimmy Buffett tickets. The best part of all, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Can I nibble on your sponge cake?
Watching That's dirty. That is dirty. Kevin,
dirty.
You heard that right when we have an HR meeting. That is dirty.
Oh, come on, man. I
There's
got Buffett fever.
I guess.
And get this. We have a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, of course, with special guests. Are you ready?
Who?
I want a new drug.
Huey Lewis in the News.
That's right. At Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. One night only, Saturday, June 25. Tickets currently on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets, Ticketmaster.com, or you can charge by phone at 800-745-3000. But we want to be entertained because it's Friday, and we're starting our happy hour at 3 o'clock because we're off the air.
It's true, Wendy. It's a Buffett off. All you need to do is call us at 312-981-7200. We'll plow through as many of these as we can. Give us a rendition of your favorite Jimmy Buffett song. You don't have to sound exactly like him. We just want to hear what you sound like, and somebody's going to win a nice pair of tickets.
Jim, we begin with you, sir.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for that lost shaker of salt.
It ended kind of abruptly,
oh,
but I liked.
You were going to go a little more.
I liked where he was heading with that. Jim, have you seen him before?
Oops.
Have you ever seen him?
I was moving on to someone else.
A couple times. Yeah, he's great.
Puts on a great show. Yeah. All right, Jim. Yes, a nice
does.
Job. Very
well,
nice
you.
Job.
I appreciate that.
All right, don't hang up because we have to figure out who's going to win this Buffett off. Is that what we're calling it?
Buffett off. Yeah.
Chris.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I've got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter or rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you. So come Monday and it'll be all right. Come Monday and I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back on my side.
Wow.
Can I tell you, if Jimmy Buffett were not coming to town, I'd go see Chris. I would enjoy seeing Chris in concert. That was really good, Chris.
Thank you.
Really good.
All right, hang on. What song is that? Because I have to be honest with you, I didn't know what it was until
That's
you hit
Monday.
That's right.
The Monday song.
All right, hang on a second. It took me a minute. I was like, he could be singing, you know, Garth Brooks, and
sure.
I'd never know.
No, that was beautiful.
All right, that was really good. All right, Kip, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Go, Kip.
I really do appreciate the fact you're sitting here. Voice sounds so wonderful, but your face don't look too clear. Barmaid, bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk?
And hold on.
Yeah, Chris was great, wasn't he, a little while ago? I thought Chris did a great job.
Kip, hang on. You're definitely in the running. All right, Tom is on the line, and let's see what Tom has to do. Hi, Tom.
People claim that there's a worm on the blame, but I know
beep, 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 beep.
It's my own damn fault.
All right, Tom, you started happy hour already?
Why shouldn't you? It's Buffett Day, right?
It is Buffett Day. Thank you, Tom.
All right, hang on. Do not hang up.
Tom seemed dizzy. Didn't he seem a little dizzy to you?
A little bit.
Maybe someone spun Tom around before he got on the air.
Adam, go.
Don't know the reason I stayed here all season with nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. And it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasted away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's all Wendy's fault.
Wow. Adam, impressive.
Hang
Very
on,
nice.
Adam. That may have pushed
wow.
you over the top. I'm not sure.
He personalized it for
I
you.
I know. That
Wasn't
was
that nice?
Pretty lovely. Change Zoe, lyrics. Finally, a chick. Hey,
you know
Zoe.
What? I don't even stand a chance now.
Oh,
no,
come on.
Yes, you
don't
do.
Say that.
Come on.
Okay.
All right.
I'm a little nervous. Okay,
we are,
sorry.
Too.
Don't know the reason. Stay here all season. Nothing to share about this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty. I haven't even had a drink yet.
Wait a minute.
Mexican cutie.
Not yet.
Oh.
How I got here, I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Looking for my shaker of salt. Okay, I
think that's great.
Listen.
They are laughing at
no,
you so
we're
hard,
laughing
Zoe.
With you, Zoe, not at you. There's a huge difference.
You okay. Sound adorable.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
I haven't even had my drink yet, which I really need.
All right, hang on.
Was
I don't
Zoe
believe
drinking
you.
Helium? Is there a possibility she had some helium?
You guys are so mean.
Helium straight up? No ice?
Mark?
I'm going to try come Monday as well.
All okay. Right, that's fine.
All right. Heading up to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I've got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I've spent four lonely days in a brown L.A. haze, and I just want you back by my side.
That got better as you went on, Mark. It started out a little wobbly, and then it got better and better. Nicely done.
Hang on. It sounded like Elvis singing Buffett. Hang on, Mark. You're nothing.
That's
not
fine.
A thing. All right, Dave is on the line. We have a few more, and then we have to take a break and make a decision.
No, this will not be easy.
I know. Dave, go.
Got it. At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do? Pour me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere.
Very good.
That's pretty good. All right. Thank you, Dave.
Hold on.
Was that good?
It was fine.
It was good.
Hi, Denny.
Yep.
Hey, guys. I got to preface this because I got a voice perfect for silent movies.
Thank you for the warning, Denny. We appreciate it. Go ahead.
All right. Why don't we get drunk and beep? Got me a water bed that's made for you and me. Short and sweet. That's all I got, guys.
That's fine.
It's pretty good, and I love the self-edit, so hang on.
The beep was, that was one of the better parts, I thought.
All right, we've got Donna on the line. Donna wants to give the other woman, Zoe, a whirl. Go, Donna.
Okay, it's going to be at the Bama Breeze. At the Bama Breeze, you can shoot some pool down there. You can act a fool down there. You can play it cool down there. At the Bama Breeze, you can drink some beer down there. Argue, laugh, and cheer down there. Pass another year down there. Good enough?
That's
yes.
Very, very good. Thank you, Donna. Thank You're you. In the running. Stay where you are.
All right, hang on. We have two more, and then we have to take a break and make a decision.
Oh, this will not be easy, Wendy. Believe me.
I hear you.
Not easy.
Mark, go.
All right, hang on.
All right.
Got to flip my Buffett's music book around here. Okay, here you go, right?
All right, yep. Go ahead.
It's cutting out. This is damn.
Oh. Does he keep driving under a bridge? Is that why we're only hearing parts of it?
Mark, your phone is breaking up.
Man cave. I'm trying to do it on a speakerphone.
Oh no! It
yeah,
keeps
your
breaking
phone's
up.
Breaking up.
Oh crap!
No.
All right, try it one more time.
Give it one more quick shot, Mark.
Don't move the phone.
All right.
Heading up to San Francisco for my Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. Guess I never was meant for this old radio show. There.
All right, Mark.
That was pretty good. Had you played
there.
The guitar prior to this? Was that your first time? I don't know if you just learned the guitar just for this contest.
I just stole it from my cat.
All right, stay where you are. Thanks,
Hang
Mark.
Hang on, Mark. And one more here. One more here. This is Georgia. Hey, Georgia.
Hey there.
Good luck, Georgia.
Good to see you guys.
Oh, this is great. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go in the volcano. Everybody know.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I don't think so. But
Georgia, you are in the running, certainly among the top 12. Stay where you are, okay? Hold on.
Thank you.
All right.
How are we going to make a decision?
This will not be easy. We'll take a look at your score sheet, my score sheet, Kevin's keeping score. We'll find a winner. Somebody's walking away with Jimmy Buffett tickets. We'll find out who next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. This is the toughest part.
I don't like this.
This guy trying now is good. Listen to him. All right, 12 of you participated. We got down to 12 of you.
I hate this part.
And everybody had their merits. We went back and forth and back and forth, but we've chosen two finalists. Is that the way to do it? Yeah?
We've chosen two finalists, and we need to hear a little more from them.
Can I just quickly give a... Adam did a great job, was almost one of the finalists, but just missed. And Donna was a magnificent singer as well and just missed. But the two that we all thought were the best, we now have to decide between them. This will not be easy.
And I'm sorry to say this. If we don't pick up on your call right now, you've figured that you are not the winner.
Right.
But it has come down to this person right here.
That's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey,
Chris,
how are you?
It's down to you.
And let me put you on hold so we don't hang up. We're going to conference you with our other winner. Sorry, guys. Everybody was really good, but, a guitar kind of helps a little bit.
Always have a guitar with you, Wendy.
I do.
You should always have a guitar.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
It's down to you two, guys. We have a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band with special guest Huey Lewis in the news. We should have him whip out a Huey Lewis song now.
That would be a challenge. Wouldn't that be something? Do either of you want a new drug?
It's okay.
All right, that's fair. All right, so let's do this, just so we can all decide. Chris, just give us a little bit again of a Jimmy Buffett song, either the one you did last time or a new one, and then Mark, and then we will pick a winner.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I've got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll.
All right, I feel comfortable with my choice with Chris.
That is pretty good. All right, and Mark, go ahead. What do you got for us?
I'm going to do one that no one's heard of, but you probably recognize it.
All right.
Let me put my guitar back on.
Okay.
And I'll lay the phone down. Hang on. Give me 1 second.
We got a second.
Uh-oh.
He just threw out his back.
Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. I wanted to sail upon your ocean since I was 3 feet tall.
Chris, you can sing along.
That's pretty good. Now, I do have to say, Chris has a tuba, and he opted not to use it, which is interesting. Mark, if you won, Mark, would you bring your guitar to the show and play it there at the...
I used to go to Papa Creek and watch Buffett all the time.
Yeah?
And my wife, I've got her introduced to him through all my CDs and stuff, and she's never seen him live. And I said, you know, I got to get you there. It's the best time you ever see. I'm not trying to imply that I should win anything.
Chris, he's trying to get it over you. You know that. What's your sob story?
Here's a sad story. Chris, what do you got?
Well, let's see, my grandmother.
Yeah, she's sick.
She's in the hospital.
Yeah, she's been sick.
Come on, you guys.
She's a huge Jimmy Buffett fan.
And she said this was her last wish, was for you to see his show, right?
Can you get her out to go to the show, Chris?
Well, she either said she wanted to see Jimmy Buffett or go to a buffet. I couldn't make it out.
Well, this is impossible. You guys are both so good.
And thanks to everybody else who tried, because really...
Everybody was good, yeah.
What do we do here? I'm liking Chris. I'm liking Mark. Bill, what do we do?
I'm going to make a suggestion that could get you, Wendy, in a lot of trouble.
Why me?
We only have one pair of tickets to give away, but they're both too good. Is there some way we could give them both a pair of tickets and we'll just blame you? Is that all right?
Why don't you guys go together?
Well, you know what? That'd be fun, too, probably.
That would be fun. That
all
would
right,
be fun.
You know what?
Is we're not supposed to do that, but it's they're both too good. I can't say to either one of them, you can't have the tickets, can you?
We can't steal Rose tickets because he's got some to give away too.
I know where he keeps them. If you want to do it, I'll do it.
All right, Rose going to give away a pair too, but you know what? You guys were so good. Chris, you got the voice. Mark, you got the guitar. You guys would make a nice little double date there, but let's give them both a pair.
You both win a pair of tickets.
Oh, you're kidding me. Thank you.
All right.
How about that for
a
Friday? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. All right.
Don't tell our bosses because they will not be happy, all right?
You know, I met you guys when you were at the Chicago Arena, the Rockford Airport. I was excited. Stood there, you know.
You were the guy that stood there, remember?
Chris, you were sitting, right? You
drinking your malts, and Wendy had something.
Yep, always does.
All right, well, listen, hang on. Chris, congratulations. You did
a
great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hope your grandma enjoys the show.
She will.
Mark, get your wife. Get your wife to that show, okay?
I will. I'll make a whole weekend out of it.
All right.
Great
job, guys.
Do not hang up. Thanks to everybody.
Everybody did a nice job for us. Thank you.
I hate this part of it. We didn't have 12 pairs of tickets, though.
I know.
But stay tuned. Ro has your tickets as well. Ro and Anna do. Pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band with special guest Huey Lewis in the news. It's all happening at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. One night only. Saturday, June 25th. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com, Ticketmaster outlets, or you can charge by phone at 800-745-3000.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Ro and Anna are coming in next. We'll talk to them in a bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.